nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Name's Francis Sawyer. But everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Ooh.
You just made the list, buddy. And I don't like nobody touching my stuff. So just keep your meat hooks off. If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you. Also, I don't like nobody touching me. Now, any of you homos touch me, and I'll kill you.
Lighten up, Francis. One of these men may save your life one of these days. You understand that?
Then again, maybe one of us won't.
Take a whiz.
You got the old laptop.
Hey, show.
What?
Why do you need your laptop?
I'm peeing. That's what I said.
Why do you need your laptop to go pee?
Why does anyone need anything, Mike?
Are you going to go whack off in there?
No.
Don't whack off in there when I'm out here.
I'm not going to, Mike. I wouldn't do that.
Please don't whack off in there.
I won't. I just need some lotion.
All right, I'm just going to turn on all the water. Can you hear any, like, sex sounds coming out of my computer?
Yes.
How about now? Are you hearing any, like, sounds coming out of my computer?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a rescue mission. You'll love it. There's some juicy colonist daughters we have to rescue from their virginity.
Favorite duty.
Dumbass colonists.
Hey. You sure wouldn't mind getting some more of that Arcturian poontang. Remember that time?
Yeah, but the one that you had was male.
Doesn't matter when it's Arcturian, baby.
An army without leaders is like a foot without a big toe. And Sergeant Hulka isn't always going to be there to be that big toe for us. I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy and big toe, Sergeant Hulka.
Well, okay, hotshot.
Woo! Okay, hotshot. Hey, everybody! Hey! Welcome to Mulberry! It's Friday!
That means it's time for the show. Time for Nowhere on Mulberry, where we talk film, television, pop culture. And Steven's not here yet! Hey, an empty chair! Hey, empty chair, how's it going? Hey, it can't.
That's more like it.
It can't talk. But we do have Mulberry Bill!
This I'm used to. Now we're getting back to normal.
Yeah, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How are you doing today, Bill?
I'm excellent. I'm so good, I can't put it into words. I'll just be quiet.
Awesome. No, don't be quiet, because we got to talk during the show.
Sorry.
Yeah, so we'll just talk a lot. You know what I like?
Hey, that's normally what we do, so.
I always loved in that Stripes clip, the black guy goes, ooh, to Psycho. I'll kill you. Ooh.
Ooh.
You just
made
the list,
buddy. I thought that was John Candy that did that.
No, it's a black guy. He puts up his hands like, ooh. Ooh. I love that.
Well, okay, hotshot.
Yes.
Any of you homos touch me,
I'll kill you.
Now, any of you homos.
But, hey, everybody, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about all sorts of things. And let me just let Steven sit down here. He just walked in, Bill.
There you go.
How's it going, Steven?
Oh, very nice.
Oh, that sounded positive. And
it's just a long
energetic.
Drive.
Oh.
You literally just drove in for how many hours?
5.5 hours.
Holy
6 hours.
Crap.
Holy crap, man.
Are you exhausted?
After working 7 hours.
Oh, my God.
There was one?
Huh?
So, yeah.
Are you up to doing the show there,
Bill? Oh, yeah, roll on. Let's roll it.
Steven, the pop culture.
Just keep his mic up so that we can hear him fall asleep.
Yeah.
Well, okay, hotshot.
Steven,
right.
Are you sleeping? I'm just what? Resting my eyes.
Not that fast, Steven. The Nowhere Mulberry Book Club, Bill. Usually the last week of the month is when we do the show on The Wastelands. Stephen King's Dark Tower Book 3, The Wastelands.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do it live anymore because nobody listens when we do it live, so there's no reason to even bother. I think the first show, M. Daddy-O listened. The second show...
Yeah, the second show he showed up halfway through.
Oh, he did? I didn't think anybody listened. I knew there was people at the beginning going, oh, the book show, click, and they're gone, you know. School season starts Monday. So I'll have some hours during the day where we'll be able
what?
To do
You'll
it.
You'll have some... Free time?
Not a lot of free time, but I will. I'm so sick of that joke. No, it's like, Bill,
give it to Steven to charge it up.
Yeah, have I told every post I make on Facebook, someone goes, hey, sounds like you got a lot. I'm just like, hang my head. Like, oh, when does it end? I guess it never does.
It never does.
It's like Andy with the Kubrick Masterclass show. Everyone's like, hey, when's the Kubrick? And they laugh and really...
Well, you know what? They actually probably think that they'll yeah. come out eventually.
But really, he's just going, ugh, like so beaten down by it. But
or the Michael Bay joke.
I don't even remember that one. What's that?
I think Andy said he liked one of the Michael Bay movies Jansen never lets it go.
No, I'm sure
it's either The Rock or Armageddon. I can't remember.
Hey, did you guys see my toe on Facebook? Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah,
it's a lovely toe.
I don't know what happened. I was walking to the bathroom, and my foot, I had the Jimmy legs. I go back, like just right into the door frame. And I was like, oh, you know how like when you stub your toe? I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, that really hurts.
But that's more than a stub. I mean, turning black like that.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch is broken.
Well, now it looks like a light plum color. It's looking almost edible. Like I go...
When it falls off, just let us know.
Mm, this is juicy and delicious.
When it's nice, when it ripens up, we can pluck it off.
So, guys, let's go ahead and go into our first Adam voicemail. Every week we have one Adam and one Rick voicemail. let's check it out.
Mulberry, what's up? This is Adam. Hey, good job. I'm listening to 173 Gary Manilow right now. I believe it's 173. And it's a pretty good show, and it seems like it was forever since you guys made a podcast. I was, like, so excited when I loaded it up this morning. So anyways, you were just talking about that show. Forgive me, I didn't pay attention to the name. It's like the post-apocalyptic reality show type thing.
The Colony.
And then Jason started talking and saying that it would be cool if they adapted this into a series, like an actual dramatic series, kind of like Lost, but without all the ooby-dooby, like, spiritual weird island themes, but just like a post-apocalyptic
ooby-dooby.
Survival about, you know, about like a good group of characters. And then I think Jason even said that they were going to do that with an adaptation from a comic book. Excuse me. Once again, I don't know the name. But I think that could be a really good idea. I really would be interested. Hopefully they don't foul it all up with stupid stuff. Hopefully they make it good. So I think you said it was going to be on AMC or A&E. I forget.
AMC.
I don't know. Anyways. But hey, it's good to talk to you guys. Glad to hear you guys on the show again. I really wish I would have started reading this series of books. I may cheat, even though it's a big no-no. I just don't have the time. I have plenty of time at work to be listening to the audiobooks, but I want to be able to listen to those shows and hear the story. So maybe I'll cheat if you guys won't you know, like, publicly embarrass me or something for doing so. But anyways,
cheater!
And I keep up the good work. All right, bye.
You know, I was thinking we did say, go ahead, anybody who needs to listen to audiobook, go ahead. But maybe we did it on a book show where we said that. Maybe he hasn't heard those.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we pretty much determined it. If you know, audiobook, okay, go ahead. Try an audiobook.
The Frank Muller audiobooks are excellent. Just the guy is really good at creating each character. And
yeah, he is fantastic. And he does The Wastelands, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he. I think...
does he do the next book?
He does... Let's think. He does The Drawing of the Three, he does The Wastelands, and he does The Wizard in Glass.
That's awesome.
After that, I think he passed away, so...
Go ahead, Adam. Do it. Listen to the audiobooks. I don't mind. Yeah. And you know what? There's been some debate on it or whatever. People say, hey, no, you know, are you reading? Are you listening? I think of it in terms as someone's telling you a story.
Yeah.
You know, you could say, I read that book. Somebody told me that book or read it. It's just semantics, right? You know? Yeah. Just, hey, you know the story,
you can join along, and you can enjoy it.
If you just want to hear me and Bill talk about it, then, you know, whatever. But it would be fun to have you along, even if you're just listening. That's what I'm saying. But I'm expressing myself in a way that is just making me more confused, and I'm digging a hole for myself. So, Steven, just start pouring the dirt on top of me.
All right, let's start the ninja
ladder.
Well, okay, hotshot.
Huh? All right, we got a Rick voicemail here, and I thought this was a little strange, guys, Rick's voicemail. I'm pretty sure that he's very inebriated. The voicemail was over 8 minutes long.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. It had to be tightened up a little, let's just say that. And it sounds like what he's doing is watching Robot Jocks and then pausing and then telling what he thinks at that moment. And I try to make sense of it, and this is the version you guys are getting.
We'll have to release the director's cut.
Yeah, you want the director's cut later. Let's check it out. And also, at the end of the voicemail, Rick lets us in on something that I was kind of shocked by, some information about his life. Let's check it out.
Awesome. He just fell into the stadium and crushed everybody.
Oh, that's another thing I should say is if you haven't seen Robot Jocks, you're not going to know what he's talking about. So look it up YouTube.
we can talk about it. There's this great moment where... Is it the Gary Graham guy? Is that his name?
Yeah, it's two guys and giant robots fight it out in an arena, and there's like bleachers nearby, and
Rick, solar panels.
Yeah, Rick calls attention to this. Aren't they a little close to the robots?
Yeah.
And Gary Graham falls on top of the crowd of people.
Well, it's like, so funny. He tries to block a like a flying fist off of the
other
robot,
guy.
And he's like, oh, I'll just jump in front of it. Whoops.
Yeah, and he crushes.
It knocks me off balance, and I fall into bleachers and kill hundreds of people.
Yeah. Let's see where
my
Rick thinks
of it. Awesome. He just fell into the stadium and crushed everybody. What the hell is this movie? I love it. It seems a little crazy to have the stadium so close to the battle. And the dude can't read. I can't read, but I'm not dumb. Wow. He's got issues, man. And I got to see some side ass. It was male side ass, but, you know, you take what you can get, all right? And I got to see some girl ass. Full shot. Excellent. Yeah. When I heard Robot Jocks, I thought of jocks as, like, underpants or underwear, whatever you call them.
Robot
underpants? Man, what kind of shit would robot underpants do? Man, this movie's going to be awesome.
That would be
awesome.
Then
I saw it on YouTube and I thought, oh, jocks might be like short for jockeys, you know, robot jockeys. For like, you know, the jockeys, they ride a horse and control a horse in the direction they want. The robot jocks, they kind of like, you know, control the robot direction where they want to go. So that's where I think jocks and jockeys kind of
you know, come together.
Exactly.
But robot underpants would have been heaps cooler. Yeah. This cowboy dude with his cowboy hat, he's a bad dude. He's the spy, because there was a spy, obviously. Obviously, they said there was a spy. So I'm calling it right now before I see the end, and we'll come back later, and we'll see what's going down. But the cowboy dude with the cowboy hat, he's a bad dude. And what do you know? He turns out to be a spy. It's a forced laugh. Yeah, I picked it. They're like, crash and burn, crash and burn. That's their, like, catchphrase they shout through the friggin' robot jocks or whatever. Crash and burn, man. Crash and burn. Fist pump, whatever. And then when he's getting onto the robot, one of the dudes like, crash and burn, and smacks him on the ass. I was like, that's a bit weird. I don't know what's going on there. And then later on in the movie, the dude's like, crash and burn, man. Crash and burn. And smacks him on the ass. But he was just drugged by the chick with no boobies, right? Who took his place and put on his suit and whatever. And then the dude's like, crash and burn, and smacks him on the ass, which he thinks is the dude, but it's really the woman. And, like, he looks, and from the smack on the ass, he realizes that's not him, because he's so used to smacking his ass all the time. He knows what the dude's ass feels like. And it doesn't feel like his ass anymore.
Yeah,
so
really.
He's got Achilles. It's cold. I love that bit. That's not Achilles. His ass isn't nearly as soft and perky. He's got a hard, round, peach-like ass, I think. I like his ass much better than this one. Because he's gay, I think. What an ending to it. He gives him a thumbs up, and the other dude, thumbs up, and the fist of meat, and they're both giving thumbs up. Roll credit. Bloody brilliant.
God, it's been so long. Yeah.
Unbelievable stuff.
Lamest ending to
any movie. He had a chance to just smack him in the head with his pipe and bust his head up. But he throws it away and gives him a thumbs up instead. Now, I might be just a bit, you know, gore-hungry, but I think cracking his head in would have been a far better ending.
You're right.
Yeah. Robot jocks. So, I give this movie 1 star if you don't like robots, and 5 stars if you're drunk and you're a fan of robots. Stop motion robots, especially, because that's just cool. I was listening to old episodes, and I really like the cult news that Billy used to do. I used to be a Mormon for the first 22 years of my life.
Oh!
So if you need to know any Mormon shit, I can be like the Encyclopedia of Mormon shit, because I know all about it. And sometimes you got some information right and wrong. Even though I prefer it when people get the wrong information and spread that they do weirder shit than they actually do. If you want to know what Mormons did, I used to do it. I even went door knocking on a bicycle in the suit and tie and shit for 3 months, and then I came home and thought, "This, I've left." I'm like, that's a pile of shit. It's just salesman shit. And then I left the church and married my wife, and we don't go to church anymore because it makes me angry most of the time. Anyway, I hope you liked my review of that movie, Robot Jocks. Yeah, this is Rick. Rick from Australia. Touch me.
What? Now, this is my own ignorance, but I didn't think Mormons were beyond the United States of America. I really didn't.
Well, they were founded here.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a special craziness, but I guess maybe Joseph Smith put a couple guys on the boat and they went to the Australia.
Maybe people move there and they're like, sure. You know, yeah. They spread it to the rest of their family or whatever.
They have like what are they called?
Missionaries like Mormon missionaries. I didn't even think about that, honestly. But I guess it makes sense. But when he said that he was a Mormon, I was like, huh? In Australia?
Best Mormon thing ever. black people are fallen angels.
Rick, tell us if that's true or not. I mean, at least what you were taught or whatever. But, yeah, that's interesting. But thanks for your Robot Jocks review.
And I gotta say, you know, when I first saw Robot Jocks and I was a kid, I remember the ending and I was just like, what the hell?
Beat him in the head!
I felt ripped off. I mean, this guy, this bad guy, Alexander, kills all these different Robot Jocks. You know, all these people die during the course of the movie. He does terrible things. And then all of a sudden at the end, Gary Graham decides to say, we can live!
Yeah,
and gives them a thumb up.
People,
and then they
innocent people
bump.
In bleachers die.
Yeah.
Even at one, remember he's going to stomp on the girl with his robot foot?
Yeah!
And it's like, no, peace, dude! Woohoo!
Did we watch
be
that
cool
drunk
to each
one
other.
Night, me and you?
I can't remember.
We've seen so many trash movies drunk.
I think I was younger when that came out.
I know, but I mean, we went back and watched old movies that each other hadn't seen before.
I don't know, but you're right. That movie has an awful ending. How it's just like, peace. It's like,
no,
what?
It's just epically weak. I mean, just the fist bump and then they fade to black and it's like, wait.
I want the director's cut where he pounds his head in. What the hell?
Yeah, it's bad.
But yeah, thank you for the voicemail, Rick. And
it was awesome, as usual.
Yeah, it was, you know, eight minutes. I just cut down him, you know.
I can't wait to see or hear the whole thing.
But, Bill, I was thinking, should we have Rick go back and review Bad Ronald, maybe? Because I'm kind of curious to hear what he thinks of that. Unless there's...
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Unless
In fact,
something
I just
better.
Bought it today. I just got the DVD from the Warner Archive today.
Awesome. Does it have any special
I know. I was so excited. I was like, oh, Bad Ronald. And the synopsis on the back, I was reading while... It was my reading material while I was on the toilet in the bathroom. And I was just cracking up. And my dad's room's on the other side of the bathroom. He's like, are you okay? I was like, yes, I'm excellent.
It's like, what are you doing in there?
Can you hear any porn stuff?
Yeah. That's awesome. So are there any special things on the disc or just the movie?
No, the Warner Archive discs are just the movie and the trailer. But let me just read the synopsis. I just picked it up. It says, how bad is Ronald? The Wood family finds out when they move into a house with an extra the realtor didn't know about, teenage Ronald, who's been hiding in a secret room ever since he killed a neighbor girl. Ronald was a little weird when he entered the room. Now he's creepy, scary, crazy.
Now he's batshit.
Yeah, and he finds the three pretty Wood daughters very, very interesting.
Yes.
A fine cast that includes Scott Jacoby, Kim Hunter, and Dabney Coleman maintains a nerve-tightening atmosphere of suspense as Ronald begins terrorizing the unsuspecting family. Bad Ronald. Great horror flick.
Horror flick? What? I guess you could call it that. Awesome.
I was cracking up at that thing.
I'd love to hear
Are you serious?
Yeah, you know, the whole thing's on YouTube, I believe, so Rick could watch that
one
too. So what do you guys say we check out Entertainment? All right. Inglourious Basterds comes out today. Has anyone seen it yet?
No, I wanted to go this morning, but I just didn't have it in me.
Yeah, I would like to see it, and I probably will, but I don't know when. But we did see District 9 last weekend, Steven, and I thought it was good. It's kind of weird. We are in a day and age, I'm serious, and it's just ridiculous. If you pay attention to internet, that is, blogs and so forth, and geeks or whatever, but it seems like you always have to defend your opinion on things. Like, oh, I like that. That was really good.
What? How could you like that trash?
Because I'll read...
What's wrong with you?
Well, I'll read stuff like, well, it was okay, but it had a lot of plot holes. It's like, well, okay. well, tell me what the plot holes are, chucklehead. You know, why is somebody
exactly.
There's a lot of plot holes, but, you know, I can't get it in, so I got to go. Wait, where are the plot? Oh, he's gone. Okay. But one thing I kind of picked up from the movie, just from subtle hints. First of all, the movie's done in documentary style, you know, like you were telling us about last week. And a lot of it's news footage of what you're being told. So
right.
Automatically, do you think the news that's reporting on these prawns is all truth?
No.
That they're sending to the people? I don't think so either. Like, they're talking about how they can't take care of themselves and they're stupid or whatever. I took it as there's kind of a different bugs that do different jobs. And one of them is the drone type.
Mm-hmm.
They
exactly.
probably just do this one job. And if they don't have a job to do anymore, they're kind of helpless. But also, I assume just because of the world of insects that we know on our planet, there are more intelligent bugs that do the hard jobs. You know what I mean? So
yeah, that were the leaders.
Yeah, the leaders. Now, did you have to be told that by the movie to assume that? No.
No. No.
You just did that. Okay, here's another plot hole. Why is Christopher the alien so smart and the rest of them are dumb? Here's my explanation of that. When Wiccus, isn't that his name, Wiccus or Vicus?
It's Wiccus, but they call him, I guess the W's pronounced like V.
Yeah, okay, so
Vicus
is taken to that place where they've done all these horrible things to the bugs, are all chopped up and experimented. I assume those are the intelligent bugs there. That
yeah,
they've
absolutely.
Done experiments on all this time.
Well, I assume it's probably all bugs, whether they're smart or dumb. Okay, they've got, you know, what do these bugs do? Let's see what makes them tick. Okay, here's
right.
a smart one. You know, so
and so obviously what I'm saying is Christopher, he's in hiding. He's pretending to be just a dumb old drone bug when
yeah.
he's not, because he knows.
And I think
better.
Whenever he sees all these bugs, he recognizes some of them as
that's what I know, felt like
fellow leaders. That's why he freezes.
I almost felt like when he saw that specific corpse
specific
that he
one,
knew
yeah.
who it was.
Right.
Almost like. Like he,
it's like if you walked in there and you saw the president filleted open.
Yeah,
it's
so
like,
that's
whoa.
What happened to that guy. You know,
yeah.
for all we know, it could have been the captain of their ship or something. You know, because as soon as the alien ship got here, the drop ship came out and they went into hiding. They were hiding their ship somewhere. So you remember how early on Christopher has this friend, another prawn guy, and he gets killed, and you just see Christopher kind of slump his shoulders, like oh. And his little child says, "Where's your friend?" And he's like, "He didn't make it or whatever." It's just
yeah,
really sad.
He's gone. He won't
but
be back.
My
yeah.
problem was a lot of people like to just have everything fall into place for them. Like, oh, they're not plot holes. It's just you're not using your brain to figure the shit
exactly.
out on your own.
The movie's too smart for a lot of people.
Just use your brain and think about it a little bit instead of, there sure are a lot of plot holes. Because that's not the first thing that came out of what I was thinking of about the movie. You know, my favorite part is when Wiccus and the alien, Christopher, go to get the little vial back and they go into the lab. That whole sequence was just awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I love when the elevator door is open and the guy just shoots Wiccus. And then he's like halfway down and he pulls the trigger on that particle accelerator gun and just explodes the guy. And Christopher goes, "I thought we weren't supposed to kill anybody." He goes, "But he shot me."
Yeah, he shot me.
He shot me first.
I think I heard the director call that a Tesla arc gun.
Like yeah.
The bolt. I love that weapon.
It's what he said that, you know, it's scientifically based where if you accelerate the particles to the point where, you know, in a body, they would just explode. So,
so the
arc, the energy arc accelerates the particles and then just causes the body to
boom.
Like just.
And I think the main problem is
splatter.
When people are watching the film, they assume that everything the news is telling them is all the facts, when I don't think it is at all. I think
exactly.
It's obvious that the government wants their weaponry, but they can't use it. And as soon as Vicus, he's got that, he can use the weapons, they want to exploit that somehow.
Yeah.
Well, if you notice the way it switches between documentary and real time.
Right.
The documentary never makes any mention of what is going on.
Right.
In fact, at the end of it, you find out that Vicus's friend that didn't have the body armor as they're going to do
the moving job on the prawns is the one that hacks into the information system and finds out what was really going down.
And he's
and he gets arrested and put in jail for it. So, yeah, there's like they tell you – they kind of twist the story, but then you see what's going on and you have to make up your own mind. It's like people they automatically take what's being told to them via the documentary as to fact. Because it even shows that his parents are like, you know, I don't know what happened to Vickers. He died to me that day, his father says.
Yeah, they basically – well, remember, they even put out a picture where he's having sex with a prawn.
Yeah.
And it's in the papers everywhere just to embarrass him. He can't show his face anywhere. He's a guy screwing the aliens. But I thought the movie was – I mean, can you say any more about how original it is?
And it's, when I was just blown away. I had to go see it again on Sunday and – I want to go see it again before it leaves the theater. I think I might do that whenever I go see Inglourious Bastards, hop over to District 9 again.
Yeah, I'd really like to see it again. There was a few distractions because my wife was getting nauseous because the theater was so packed.
And it was hot.
And it was hot in there. And she was just like, And it was funny. She was like, I'm feeling nauseous, like I'm going to throw up. And right then, you know, his fingernails are coming off.
Oh.
And he's throwing up. And I was just like, this probably isn't helping, is it?
it really wasn't. Getting kind of the gross part.
Really just gross. And it's just like.
He's eating cat food. And,
yeah.
And then his teeth start coming out. And,
then his hand is all effed up.
It's a brundle prawn.
And then he chops off the end of one of his fingers with a hatchet. Just like. Yeah, okay, I'm going to wait downstairs. So that kind of sucked. But, hey, there's always Blu-ray where my wife will get to see it, right?
Yeah.
Now, okay, let me talk about Avatar, James Cameron's new film that's coming out in December. The teaser trailer came out yesterday, Bill, which was Thursday. And I mean, I know a lot of people were anticipating this a lot and reading everything about it and blah, 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 blah. I had no friggin' clue the trailer was coming out, the teaser. I just, you know, you sent me the link. I was like, oh, shit, really? Let me check that shit out, Bill.
No.
So I watched it, and, you know, these days I try not to have any preconceived notions or anything like that. So I watched the trailer, just sat here with my arms crossed in front of the computer and watch it. And, you know, how I always say I want the movie to come to me. I don't want to, you know, hype things up or whatever. But I got to tell you, I was like, I got really excited after
you
I saw the trailer.
Into a little kid again?
I was just like, okay, I'm going to, and I was just like, dude, I can't wait to freaking see this movie. It just looks awesome to me. So naturally, what do we do in this day and age, Bill? We go and look what other people have to say about this awesome movie.
I just avoid that shit. I can't. You've got this sick...
curiosity.
Voyeuristic quality that you have to see what other people are saying.
I mean, sometimes I'm not, but this time I really want to know. And the negativity towards it is ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I got to tell you,
I mean,
it's a James Cameron movie, and I was a James Cameron freak. I've talked about this many times on the show before, about The Abyss, and Bill, I've told you of how I always read the novelizations to the movies before they came out. And you even joke that, are you going to get the novelization to Avatar? It's like, I would like laugh, like, no. And I was like, maybe. But I'm really excited about this. I haven't been this excited probably since The Abyss. It's a friggin' James Cameron movie, okay?
Yeah, I know. And you know, you didn't hear people saying, that water creature doesn't look quite right.
Well, I got to tell you,
the
first thing that I read was someone wrote, looks like World of War crap. And I was like, what? And another comment said, Cameron won't be able to get a job doing commercials after this movie. I was like, huh? And we have somebody on the line. Who is this? Who is this that's interloping our show?
Yeah, the whole thing with Avatar, the blue Smurfs and stuff. My God, I've seen better graphics on a PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah. That's the other number one. Hey, it looks like a great video game. I'll play it when it comes out.
It's like a cutscene from a Sega Genesis game or something. It was the worst thing. James Cameron, going to be waitering after this.
He's waitering?
This is what he's been working on for years?
Yeah, that's another
right.
one.
He's been working on this film for 17 years now, and I hear that, I mean, people, and it's like a guy walked into a marketplace, and he had this film strapped to his body.
Huh?
Okay.
What?
See, it was like a bomb. See, it was a bomb. That was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, enough of this crap. Hello, fine gentlemen. I'm not going to play the whole thing like that, because like you, I am, it was funny because the thing that killed me the most about the Avatar trailer was I was just so jazzed to see the damn thing, and I was so excited. I think I must have seen it 25 times right now. My son and my wife have passed me sitting at the computer, said, "You're watching that again?" Well, yeah, I got to watch it at 480p, 720p, 1080p. And so, but I just like you, man. I went and I said, well, I'm going to go see this. And, of course, you know, you go into the Lion's Den over at Ain't It Cool and you listen, watch the talkbacks, and it's just like getting throttled with stupidity. And you know, I have no problem if someone doesn't like it. If someone just decides, well, it doesn't look very interesting to me, or maybe the graphics look a little weak, they're not what I was expecting, that's fine. But these people, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I was taken aback. And sadly, my enthusiasm was lost in just being pissed at the amount of – it's like if you guys continue this kind of shit, then the Hollywood's just going to – they're going to say – we'll forget, you know, real directors. Let's just hire people to make stupid-ass shit, and let's make, you know, 17 fucking Hellboy movies. Excuse me. 17 Hellboy movies.
I know, exactly. I was reading the Entertainment Weekly. I was like, it's safe here. And it says, the Avatar trailer's come out. What did everyone think? And I was like, oh, it's safe here. It's not a bunch of fanboys. Start scrolling down. I'm like, holy shit, it's the same shit, man. I keep seeing, it looks like World of Warcraft. What the hell are they talking about?
Oh,
like,
you know, the worst comment I ever saw was, it looks like the sequel to Ferngully.
Yes.
I was like, Ferngully?
There was this one movie called Delgo. Did you see all these Delgo comparisons?
No.
No, some never animated even heard thing of Delgo. About,
yeah, it's some animated movie that's $2 in the theater that's got Freddie Prinze Jr. as like the main actor, I think.
Awesome.
Main voice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and they're saying it's Delgo because it looks like Delgo.
Okay.
So,
why is everyone such a cynical bastard is what I want to know. Honestly,
it's James Cameron!
My first feeling when I watched the Avatar trailer before any of this and just watch it myself, I said on Facebook, I felt like Renfield in Dracula. I was like, the master is returned. He's back. And I'm eating insects like as I'm watching it. But,
Yes, master.
This is a guy who did The Terminator. He did Aliens. He did Terminator 2. He did The Abyss. He did True Lies. And he did Titanic. Okay?
Tom Arnold says it's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, right? Every blog reports that. Tom Arnold says True Lies 2 will be rolling into theater. Yeah, okay. But
So.
I'm sorry, the guy, James Cameron, he's a visionary director, and I think here's the problem. Here's where it all, like, with the geeks and the guys, and they're all like, got shit up their ass, is that the term photorealistic was used. Now, what exactly does photorealistic
mean?
Who said that?
That doesn't
Cameron
look like it's
never
real.
Said that they were, it was photorealistic. Never said it.
It was probably Harry Knowles. I was over at James Cameron's
house. What does that even mean? I mean,
I don't
it's
know.
Like, okay, well, because if you ask yourself, if you look at the lush landscape when they get to the planet, right?
Right.
Oh, I totally believed it. I want to go to the planet where islands float in the sky. That's so.
Yeah. Looks pretty damn real to me. Like, here. It's like.
It looks like
everything,
Naboo,
you know, maybe their faces. I mean, it's like that. And other than that, it's like. But then again, I mean, think about this. What's your reference point for a 9-foot blue alien? I mean,
who knows what a Na'vi looks like?
Right, exactly. How do you look at something and say, okay, that doesn't look real? Well, because I know the Na'vi. I've hung out with the Na'vi, and I know what they look like, and that's not what they look like. It's like, give me a break.
Yeah, I've read people say, well, there's certain detail and certain things looked a little blurry. It looks like they got a little bit of work to do on there. It's like, shut the hell up. Just please blow your brains out. Like, I've seen that, too.
See, that's what's so amazing is that, like Bill says, we're talking about a two-minute teaser here, and people are judging the film and James Cameron's career based on
2 minutes.
And we're forgetting that it's not even in 3D. I mean, it's like this thing was processed and created for the 3D environment.
James Cameron didn't mean for any of us to watch this on a shitty monitor, first of all, you know?
Exactly.
And everyone just needs to compare it to something as soon as they see it. Like, oh, this looks like Planet Naboo or something. We're the Gungans. It's like,
Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Everything is like Blue Jar Jar.
It's like people are just amusing themselves, I guess.
Nita gonna go get a Na'vi.
You know, it's like, I almost feel like they knew this was gonna come, and that's why they decided to do this, you know, this Avatar Day 20-minute showing or whatever. But I just don't understand that. I would expect Cameron to say, like, listen, you know, this is what you get. You'll see the movie on December 18th.
Right.
I don't understand this 20-minute teaser shit.
The only thing I can think is that this dude is really excited to show somebody his movie.
Could be that. Because
it's been a long – you got to think. It's been a long time since he's had a reel to show somebody.
Why that trailer came out a day ahead of time, it makes me wonder. Because, I mean, if these expectations are through the roof, and I know that on my show I've helped fuel that quite a bit because it's just, you know, like you, Jason, I'm just, you know, busting with excitement for this thing. But I think that, you know, maybe part of it, the trailer, is to start killing some of those out-of-the-control expectations. Say, okay, hang on here. You know, you need to be realistic about this thing. But at the same time, making it so that people can still 3D process. I think that's the thing. He wants everyone, it's like, you got to promote this thing on computers and crappy TV screens and everything else. But to give people the opportunity to see in 3D, I think it's what's going to change everything.
It's like, wow, this looks better than
how they talked about when Up came out, and they're like, well, you have to see it in 3D. You can see it in 2D. I don't think that's going to be the case with this. I think this thing is going to be something that, you know, you really need to see it as it was intended.
Well, yeah,
you know,
Up wasn't designed to be in 3D. In fact, I thought it looked not nearly as vivid and colorful in 3D as it did 2D. Whereas, like you're saying, this movie was designed to be in 3D.
Right.
So the colors will probably look even better. Maybe they look a little, you know, a little off in 2D because they're supposed to look different in 3D.
If you go back and look at that, there's an insane amount of detail in that, you know?
That's what I thought when I watched
it. No, that's what I started doing. I was going through and freezing out. I'm sorry, Stephen. Go ahead.
No, when I was watching, like he said, there was so much detail. It was like, to sit there, you'd have to watch it like you did 25, 35, 40 times to see.
Well,
and even then, you can't you can't comprehend everything that's going on in that trailer.
Well, no, it's so... Well, remember, they used to say that about the Star Wars prequels, is that, you know, like them or not, the effects were so dense. I mean, looking when you would look at Coruscant, when you try to look into the picture, there's just so much to see that you have to go back, and it's like you almost wish that you had a 5-minute still image of the city so you could just kind of watch the traffic go by.
Yeah.
Because
I think
that'd
be more entertaining than the film.
It's possible.
I think that's what you're seeing here because, you know, some of those fights that were going on with the dragons and the ships and all this, it's like if you look into the image, there's like, you know, 50 of these damn dragons flying around. You just like, you have to remember that every single one of those elements was drawn. So, yeah, it's mind-boggling.
I can't wait to know more about the movie, honestly. I really don't know much about it. And I'm just – my first genuine reaction was excitement and – I guess some people, after they watch it, they're like, whatever.
Oh, the other thing is, they can create, you know, avatar bodies, but they can't fix spinal cord injuries.
Yeah, it's just like, well, you haven't seen the movie yet! You know?
they don't even know the story.
I used to read that.
Maybe it's not possible, or maybe the guy doesn't want it. I don't. You know.
Yeah,
maybe,
we haven't seen the movie yet. How does he know what the? Maybe the guy has this kind of guilt-ridden thing where he doesn't think he deserves an operation because he caused someone death in a war or something.
Or what if it was genetic from birth?
Well, and what we forget is that, you know, in today's society where everyone thinks they have a damn say, this is James Cameron's world. He created the rules and how everything works. You may not like it, and that's okay if you don't like those certain elements to it, but he's the god of that world, and he created the rules, and it's just that's how it is. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. If you don't like it, well, then put a little tick by, okay, here's my list of things I like and things I don't like. I just want to know what these – with these, and I read this new word during all this. Someone called them fanboy elitists, and I thought that was kind of funny. How many ticks of bad, I mean, like, you know, when you check something off, how many ticks does it take before you say that movie sucks? Is it 2? Is it 10? You know, if it's little small crap, I mean, come on, you know, eventually, there's very few movies that we love that, like, has a zero column when it comes to things that were that bugged you a little bit.
I mean, okay, you know? When I saw the trailer, it looked like something special. If you think back to movies even that I might have even possibly liked, like, say, Terminator Salvation or a number of other effects movies like Hancock, that everybody has got CGI effects and stuff. This looks like something different and something special to me. It doesn't look like the same cookie-cutter crap that we have to look at with every movie that comes out. You know what I mean? And I guess there's something wrong with me or whatever. But I don't know. I just was kind of taken aback by all the negativity. Everybody had some kind of thing to say about it. But
if anything, I mean, you know, we got until December, and there will be, you know, at least a couple more trailers. Plus the people, you know, we're going to start hearing the people's response after coming back from seeing the 3D. What I read so far was that people are saying, you know, okay, forget the trailer. You got to see this and what it's really like.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, already you know. I know that I'm going to go see the movie, and I don't care what anyone else thinks, honestly.
If there was not a single trailer, you would have seen it anyways. All they would have had to say was, filmed by James Cameron, and you would have seen it.
I can't wait.
The moment, I was more excited about seeing Lightstorm Entertainment.
Dude, just to see that logo, I got so freaking... Just seeing that friggin' logo, I was like, yes, thank you! But it's been so long. Like, oh my God, it's been forever since I've seen that logo. And I was like, I better hear that Lightstorm Entertainment music before right when the movie's starting, you know, that Brad Fidel music. I'm just, I can't even tell you. But I got to tell you this. I'm so excited about just seeing another James Cameron action sequence in a movie. Yeah. It's been way too long, and he does it so well. So many people have tried to imitate it. I can't wait to see an action scene by James Cameron. And that's and I know the story is going to be good. He's taken this long to do it. He's going to put together a decent story, you know?
Yeah. I tell you what, if the story makes no sense, I'm going to be pissed.
It's like a World of War crap. I'll just remember
that.
It will
be a major surprise. Well, remember, it's like Spider-Man 3 came out, and I'm not trashing Spider-Man 3 because I didn't like it.
What the hell, bitch?
But, you know, it was like John and I had always said, you know, it's impossible for Raimi to do something that's not great. And then when it was kind of, it was all right to some.
Well,
and,
it's because the studio interfered.
I like it more than a lot of people like it, but,
you know,
it was a surprise, you know, and so it's like, and we did the same thing when Christopher Nolan came out with Dark Knight. We're like, no way, no way, no way. But then we thought again. It's like, well, Raimi kind of, you know, dropped the ball a little bit. So,
well, honestly, I don't know if Avatar will be my favorite movie, but I hope to just stick it up on the shelf next to Aliens in the Abyss, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And
put it right
happy,
next to Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic.
Wow. It's not impossible that it won't be bad, but I have a hard time buying it.
Yeah,
it will be. So.
It just,
we have faith in our man. So
I do have faith in JC.
Even though I hated everyone in Titanic, the movie was still cool.
At least the ship going down was good, right?
You know, if I could go back, I go, you know, you don't have to have a story here. Just show us the boat sinking.
Yeah, really.
You don't need a Celine Dion song, for Christ's sakes. All right, Andy, thanks for calling in. We're gonna talk about What's on our TiVo? Hey! Yeah. Well, that was a good conversation about Avatar. I feel much more relaxed now. Got that off my chest. Bill, yeah. You feel a lot better? Kind of...
I do.
I'm not quite the Cameron fan you are. I like his stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong at all. And I, you know, when I watched it, I had no problem with the trailer. I thought it was fantastic, really. I mean,
yeah, it looks gorgeous.
I really think people are like, oh, the trailer's out. Okay, let me let me drop my drawers. I'm going to piss all over my computer as I'm watching.
Honestly, I had to, I really, really had to push myself to watch it. Because this is a movie that I really want to go into just completely...
Me too.
Virginal, you know.
I knew I had to watch it so we can talk about it today. Yeah, I knew.
I figured, you know, we're going to talk about it. There's going to be plenty of discussion, and then the 20-minute thing comes out, and I just decided, okay, I'll watch it. But I just, it was tough because this is the first movie in a long time that I just want to completely let wash over me.
The 20-minute thing sounds awesome, but at the same time, it's like, I want to watch the movie. I don't want to watch
exactly
20 minutes of, yeah, I don't...
Scenes.
I'm sold already on the teaser. I don't need any more.
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to tell me is James Cameron movie's coming out. He's not showing any of it to anyone. You'll have to just go see it. I'm like, sign me up, man.
I mean, even for that little bit that he showed, it was just like, well, there's so much going on. I want to see this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be cool, so... Another thing that's cool, guys, is America's Got Talent. Hey! No,
don't say that.
It's like, whoa, I was with them until this statement. Now, first of all, I'm telling you honestly, after hearing Rick send his voicemails every week, I know when someone's drunk when they're talking to me, okay?
Uh-huh.
David Hasselhoff is drunk off his ass here. He is drunk.
He was trying to eat a Wendy's hamburger at the same time.
You have to be to watch the American.
Okay,
Challenge.
There's like this dance company, and they're doing like a thriller type. They're like, I don't know what the hell. They're in a morgue or something, and they're doing a dance number. And he coins a new term here, and I thought it was awesome. But he's drunk. Let's check this out.
David, you guys are Hoff nuts.
What?
Get off your rockers.
Hoff nuts.
Not dance Hoff number nuts. In an insane asylum. Come on, buddy. You know what? I loved it. I don't know why. I'm Hoff my rocker.
I don't know why you're slurring your speech.
Very cool and very sexy in a very strange way. Especially you. Good job, guys. Ladies.
Good job. Hoff nuts. That's a quote. That one's going in the book. All right.
What do you guys think? Drunk?
Yeah.
He's drunk. I love that. What the hell does Hoff nuts mean?
Something tells me that he said to a woman before, hey, you want some of the Hoff nuts?
You guys are Hoff nuts.
Okay, Hoff nuts. Got it there.
I guess that means you're drunk out of your gourd.
Now, Bill, let's go ahead and talk about Big Brother, and then we're going to take a break, okay?
Already?
We talked about Avatar a long time.
We've hardly even started yet.
I know. Let's go back to Sunday night when this was a couple of days after Jesse was gone out of the house and all that stuff.
He was such a great guy.
He was. And in this clip,
so much for them.
All the girls are Natalie, Chima, and Lydia. They're sitting around the table drinking his last wine bottle. And crying about it. This is hilarious. I don't understand it.
Want some Merlot? It's Jesse's.
They pulled out Jesse's wine bottle because it's for Jesse. It's funny how, like, when they can evict one of our friends, it's okay. But that's why I want what's-her-name out of here. I can't stand her loud mouth.
Kevin, take your mouth out. The myth, the legend. Jesse, we only got a taste of you, but you are Mr. Pectacular.
Yes.
Cheers. Cheers. Jesse.
No, they're making a toast in there to him.
Dude, the guy's alive. Here. Relax.
No, he's dead.
I know, dude. Relax. We're playing a game.
He had such a good spirit and such a good, like, present soul.
They just act like he's a saint.
Dude, I don't understand it.
I know certain people didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it.
I saw it too.
You didn't even get a chance to try to stay. That's what, like, kills me.
I know. I had so much fun with him, too.
He was so much fun, even when he was kicking my ass.
This is so wrong.
OMG, these girls are acting as if Jesse just got hit by a Mack truck and had been killed. I mean, he got evicted from Big Brother.
He was so grateful for being here, too.
And that's the thing, he never said anything bad about anybody in this game.
This is redonkulous. Please, girls, the guy was an idiot. Shima, do you not remember that Jesse nominated you? Lydia, do you not remember that Jesse voted to evict you from this game? And Natalie, did you just not see Jesse get upset at me for keeping you in this game? Why are you crying over him?
Ugh. He's so good to me. And do you know he, like, prayed for all of us all the time?
The person that you never felt ill of anybody in this house is gone. And it's
prayed
wrong.
For everybody.
It's just them sniffing their snot.
Nice.
Wow, they're all friggin' nuts. And it wasn't long after that that Chima started deciding she wasn't going to do anything anymore. She wasn't going to listen to Big Brother. And there's this little bit here where she throws her mic in the pool or in the yes. hot tub. And it was so stupid. Natalie was like, we'll just... Does she forget they're on camera all the time?
No, you know what it is? She lies so much about everything that she just makes shit up in her head and believes it.
Like she said, oh, we'll just tell them you dropped it in there. It's like, you're on camera.
No, she said that... Well, she didn't even say, we'll just tell them. She said, I don't know what the big deal is. It just fell out of her hand.
Yeah, it goes, and it went in an arc-like move.
There's cameras. She threw it.
And then later on, when Chima got in trouble and they called her to the diary room and she finally went, Natalie goes, well, she just dropped it in there. It's like she now believes that that's what happened, even though it didn't.
Yeah, she believes her own lies. She lies so much that she believes them the moment she says them.
Let's check this out where Chima flips her lid. But I gotta say, this episode was very entertaining. I was laughing my ass off at it.
I hated Chima, so I was just so happy to see her self-destruct.
Her not getting her way for her HOH, something sprang loose in her head.
One of the rules of being in Big Brother is that you have to wear this little tiny microphone 24/7.
Did you hear Mike?
Yeah.
Thanks, because you wouldn't get it. You're welcome.
Shima grabs her mic, turns around, and just chucks it.
Oh, no.
And Kevin, Natalie, and I are like, no.
If I leave the house, I'm out.
Shima.
No, I'm not coming.
Please go to the diary room.
Off. That was strong. Can you hear me when I say that? The whole week was like, ha-ha, look at Shima. She thinks she's running things. She's not.
Please go to the diary room.
I'm not coming to the diary room. Did you not hear me?
Shima, you
can come up here and talk to me personally. I'm not coming. How about you guys come out here? Let's see some faces.
Shima, just go.
Hey, Shima. I'm not coming.
Shima, it's Allison.
I'm not coming.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm not coming.
I need you to come. I need you to come to the diary room now.
I wish you would. They took her out by force.
There's no need to sit down.
Okay.
I'm going to go up this way.
Oh, my God. Yay, she's dead.
Yes.
They executed her. Awesome.
I love that. She goes in the diary room and she goes to sit down, and that the producer goes, there's no need to sit down. You'll go out this way.
Yeah, you're leaving.
It's like, ah.
Your ass is leaving, bitch. And then, you know, there was more stuff this week, like Lydia flipping her lid during that HOH competition golf thing. That was pretty entertaining, too. My favorite part about that is she was like, I want to go home. And Jeff was like, you're not going anywhere.
Get comfortable.
Yeah,
you're not going anywhere.
That was great. And now it looks like you were saying Jeff and Jordan are believing everything Natalie's telling them now.
Yeah, I guess the other night they played poker together. And Natalie got inside their heads. Jeff really is an idiot. He has no idea how to distinguish truth from a lie. So instead of, taking everything with a grain of salt, he just believes it.
He's far
and even
trusting.
Jordan's like, oh, we can trust Natalie. She's a trustworthy, truthful person.
Dude, I don't
it's
understand
like, you
it.
Idiot!
I was hoping that maybe they were pretending, but
no. No. There's this site called Survivor Sucks, and they always do these, every season they do these photoshops that they call photo chops of the house guests. And one of them I loved. Somebody took the poster for that Tim Roth show on Fox called Lie to Me.
Right.
And next to the asterisk on it, at the bottom of the thing, it has a picture of Jeff, and it says, "Or tell the truth. I wouldn't know the effing difference." I mean, they're just so dumb.
It's funny because everyone, they rewarded Jeff with the coup d'etat power and all that. But it's like, no. He's not. He's listening to the wrong person. All right, how long till they do a banner that flies over the house?
I would love to see a banner fly over, but I don't think that's happening.
The Evil Dick season, they actually saw the banner. Remember that?
Oh, I thought they made up a lie that there was a banner.
No, that was last season, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But remember the Evil Dick one, they saw it where it said, "Don't trust Eric. He lies." Remember Eric, America's Player?
Okay, yeah,
and that totally screwed his game up. He was, like, all nervous, like, oh, shit, what do I do? And so he came up with, like, some stupid lie or whatever. But that's when their whole alliance, remember, it was that gay guy Dustin and Amber. They were all together with Dick and his daughter and all that. That all got busted up because of that banner. So hopefully a banner flies over us.
In the words of Amber, God bless God.
What? Oh, my God!
good old Dustin. But, yeah, we'll see what happens on Big Brother or whatever.
Yeah, somebody needs to fly a banner over during one of those endurance competitions where they're outside and they can't bring them inside.
Yeah, it'd screw up everything.
Oh, you know why nobody sees banners anymore? Whenever the banners are coming in, they put a canopy, a retractable canopy, over the yard.
And then they spring it out real quick?
Yeah, if a banner, they have a spotter, and if a banner comes, they can just roll out the canopy over the opening of the yard.
Ah, that's what it is. But hopefully, I mean, something happens where I got to tell you, Natalie, she annoys me so much, I can't even watch her when she's on the screen. It's
there's something about her voice,
and the fact that everything she's saying is
everything.
Everything she's saying is a lie, and
the way she believes her own lies.
For Christ's sake, she lied as soon as she got in the house. Do you remember? She's the one who said, "I'm 18 years old." She can't even stop.
That was real smart, but everyone believes it. Everyone, she's drinking wine.
It's like,
do you think the producers would allow her to she was 18 years old?
An underage minor on television, national television.
Yeah, on television, drinking.
Oh, God, they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, they are really, really dumb. And it's like Russell and them are out back trying to figure it out, and they're going, well, maybe her parents gave permission, or maybe, and I'm just sitting there going, no!
She's lying! And that's
parents still couldn't give permission.
The only thing I can hope for is Michelle wins, possibly. I don't know. I mean, I like Jeff and Jordan. It's obvious that there's not a lot going on upstairs. They just seem like nice people.
They are. They're incredibly nice, but
and they're
what?
Not phony.
They're like, because they're in power and everything, the reason I loved watching them is because they were goofy.
Right.
And they would joke around and they were sweet. And now that they're in power, it's like they're stressed out, and they're not fun anymore.
I always, at the end of seasons, people who are in the house always say, you don't understand what it's like. It's so just nerve-wracking, and you don't know if anyone's telling you the truth. I can understand that, but it's nerve-wracking to watch it, too.
But you know what? That's such a cop-out, because if I was in that house, the game is so easy to play. I mean, they really just bring in idiots. You don't. It's I could win that thing simple. You befriend everyone without tell lies, and you don't spread around gossip. It's that easy.
You know, Natalie saved herself, I think, by coming up with bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, what you do is you demonize somebody else in the house. Like Russell. They always do it to Russell, don't you think?
Yeah, and Russell took that on and tried to do it to Michelle, where all he did was call her crazy. Like, you a crazy bitch. You a crazy. And it was constant.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break, Bill, and we'll be back. We'll talk about Hell's Kitchen. Okay?
Hell's yeah.
How's that sound, Steven?
Hell's
yeah. Whee!
You guys are hop nuts.
Ooh, you know what this is. Sure, it's a cool and creamy Eskimo Pie ice cream bar, covered with our own special rich dark chocolate. And you know what kids have been doing for over 65 years? Right, eating that great-tasting chocolate first. There's an Eskimo Pie size and shape to satisfy everyone. Old-fashioned Eskimo Pie on a stick, and the original Eskimo Pie. Bet you have your own way to eat that great chocolate. Right, Laura?
The sun goes down, the night rolls in.
Did you see that? See what?
Nothing.
We're the new generation. So where are we going anyway? What are you asking me for? It's your town, pal.
You hear our voice. We made our choice.
That's my song.
It's a crazy night.
My town. Hey, I'm everywhere, pal.
Knock
it off, Gwen.
Who are you?
The Free Amigos!
Steve Martin. Chevy Chase. Martin Short. Free Amigos.
Let's try it!
Rated PG. Now playing at a theater near you. Check your newspaper for times.
Why you bother me, boy? Are you crazy?
I'm a chicken hawk and you're a chicken. Are you coming quietly or do I have to mush you up?
You're going at it all wrong, son. You gotta go to Kentucky Fried Chicken if you want to catch America's favorite chicken. It's a great place to get a great meal. No one makes tender, juicy chicken like the Colonel. It's finger-licking good. Here, son, let me give you a lift.
We do chicken right.
Now we got the juice in apple slice.
Golden delicious apple it is. You never tasted anything like this. We got the juice and it's paradise. Taste the real apple in apple slice. We got the juice.
10% apple juice.
Crisp and light, and it tastes so nice. We got the juice.
Diet 2.
I don't want to do this.
It'll be great.
I'll be scared.
Just think how glad you'll be when you're all done and maybe we'll all go to McDonald's.
I'll be glad when I'm done. I'll be glad when I'm done. I'll be... think McDonald's. Oh, I wish I were already there instead of here playing this song. Oh, I would have a big chocolate shake, a cheeseburger, and also, whoops, and also fries. And I would eat my fries myself and not give any to my dumb brother. Hands off, they're mine, all mine. Oh boy, my recital is almost done. It wasn't bad, I'm still alive. And now I can have my chocolate shake, my cheeseburger, and also, whoops, and also fries.
For Chef Boyardee, a good hot meal.
Gotta have some good stuff, hot stuff for Chef Boyardee. I want hot stuff.
What is the problem?
The new machine is acting up. Up bars are bigger.
They are bigger.
What do you suggest?
As your immediate supervisor, I needn't tell you the procedure.
Call the boss.
That's correct.
You can only know how much he likes that machine.
It's his baby.
Rules are rules.
Call the boss.
Correct.
You know, he dedicated that machine to his mother.
I think you were on vacation.
He loves it very much.
Any suggestions?
Introducing Bigger Mounds and Bigger Almond Joy. The chocolate's bigger, the coconut's bigger, everything's bigger.
And now some typical consumer reaction to an exciting Pizza Hut offer.
Yabba dabba doo!
time.
Yabba dabba doo! Yabba dabba doo!
Yabba dabba doo!
Yabba dabba doo!
That's right, it's Flintstone Kids Glasses. Freddy, Betty, Wilma, and Barney. Just 49 cents with any Pizza Hut pizza. There's a different glass every week, so you can collect all four for your kids. What do you say to that?
Yabba dabba doo!
Flintstone Kids Glasses, only at Pizza Hut.
It's still a sweltering 92 degrees here in the city and no sign of it letting up.
Can't you do something about the heat?
Open your refrigerator.
There's nothing in it.
What do you say?
Seagram's golden wine cooler. How did that get there?
Mr. Seagram put it there. It's wet and it's dry and it's Seagram's, remember?
But I don't like to drink alone, remember?
But you're not alone.
Use Seagram's golden wine cooler.
Cheers.
It's wet and it's dry.
Will Princess Caroline's pregnancy save her shaky marriage? Inquiring minds want to know.
I want to know.
How can you lose weight while fighting winter chills? This week's National Enquirer tells you. Which Dallas star gets AIDS on TV's hotel? Is too much sugar driving you up a wall?
It's in the Enquirer.
Crystal fights her double. Who wins Dynasty's biggest battle? Find out in the Enquirer. Over 100 features for people with inquiring minds.
Like me.
Burger King wide search. For Herb, the one man who's never tasted a Burger King burger.
Herb was never what you'd call...
normal.
Herb has never learned to love flame.
Herb was unusual. Herb was different.
Herb has never enjoyed this sizzling whopper.
Pull yourself together.
Herb, wherever you are, start asking yourself, aren't you hungry for Burger King, Herb?
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System. It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Octoroks, Tektites, Levers, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go, Link. Yeah, get Zelda.
Awesome.
Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold separate.
My pants gotta help me lift this shit up. Yes.
But you are Mr. Pectacular.
Oh, thank you. Who, me or Steven?
I all right, you.
Guys, you guys ready to talk about Hell's Kitchen? Yeah. Okay, yes. I want to know this. Last season, Robert, he was doing pretty good. Remember, they even went to, I don't even remember where you got a job at last season if you won, but they were there visiting the place.
It was in Vegas.
Hot chicks in bikinis, remember? He was all excited. They had a nice dinner. All of a sudden, something doesn't feel right. And he had heart problems, right?
Right.
He comes back now. Obviously, there's something about him that Gordon Ramsay likes, so he invited me back on the show. But it's obvious the dude has not fixed his problem with his weight or his health problem.
Right.
His swelling of the sac, right? I mean, his heart might not be swollen anymore.
Yes, pericarditis.
Pericarditis. His heart may be back to normal, you know, but it doesn't mean that he could go out and run the Boston Marathon. Am I right?
Right.
Swelling of the sac.
So then why, I ask, would they say, hey...
hey, come back to this pressure cooker.
Let's go to these guys and let's have them ride this silly-looking bike up a hill.
Let me just say up front, I don't believe this teasing of his health thing has anything to do with his heart.
Okay.
I think he was dehydrated.
Right, he was just a little exhausted. He said he was dizzy. He probably needed some water. But why would they
pale,
even put
he, you know, his
him,
heart
why would
was...
they put this guy who had this condition previously?
Why would they even make him do that stupid shit? Did it make any sense?
Because they're assholes.
Chef Scott's like, we gotta pick up some onions and potatoes, and they gotta write off.
You know
friggin-
what? Chef Scott needs to eat a dick. Because the guy is such a smug prick.
Now, any of you homos...
he is Francis, isn't he?
So let's go ahead and play this, because I was like, why are they making Robert do this? I just didn't understand.
I know,
is it to humiliate him? Even one of the guys goes, we got a 500-pound guy here. You know, it's like, come on. Let's check this out. It's ridiculous.
Drop everything you're doing. Guys, I need you to follow me right now.
Yes, Chef.
Quickly. Come on, everybody.
God's name's that thing.
We got to go pick up some of the ingredients for the chef's additions tonight. Everybody grab a helmet and get on the bike.
It's like, don't you have a delivery truck?
We got a man that's 500 pounds and another guy with a cast.
Hey, guys, follow me.
All right. Ready? Yeah. 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 What about that guy with two bad eggs?
So embarrassing.
Go up to the store. We'll get the ingredients we need, and we're coming right back.
We go to 7-Eleven or something.
Look at this high-breaking
guys, up the hill.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
I was enjoying it until we started going up that hill.
You got to hit this with some gas.
Please, buddy. Come on, let's go. Come on, guys, keep pedaling. You got to be kidding me, dude. No pain. I hope all y'all say something nice at my eulogy, all right? Get back to dinner prep, okay?
We make it back, finally. About died, though. We did about die. I mean, Robert's probably dying.
Biggins have a heart attack or what?
No Biggins. Idea.
We're all looking at Robert like he can barely breathe. He looks white. Robert was not looking good.
I need to see a medic, man. I feel busy and like I'm going to throw
he
up.
He is white, isn't he?
I was concerned for Robert. He was panting and struggling. And
he does look bad.
Sign.
He's a
okay,
black
tell
man.
Tell me what's going on.
Short breath. I feel dizzy, too.
Okay, try to stay calm for me. We need to send Robert to the hospital.
Oh, call nice 911. ADR here.
He might be.
Oh, thanks. TV show. We had to hear a siren.
Yeah.
Robert's been rushed to the emergency room.
Robert, last season, he got jacked up and had to leave. And this season, he's getting jacked up again.
He's in really bad shape. I don't know when he's coming back.
I don't know what kind of condition
Shut
he's
up,
in.
Chef
you know,
Swan.
It might be very serious.
He's in really
well,
bad
because
shape.
Because I made him ride a bicycle.
I don't know if Robert's going to be all right or not.
Okay, first of all, Robert is still in the emergency room.
Robert? Bobby?
He will not be back for dinner service tonight.
Oh, no. Just don't call him Bobby. But when Chef Scott was saying that Robert, he's got to go to the hospital, I would have said, well, this is your fault, asshole. Why did you make us ride a stupid bike for your little comedy sketch there? Like with that goofy carnival music.
Did you really think
music.
That was funny for a... this 300-plus-pound man to you know, who's definitely not in shape.
Exhausting himself. The guy had pericarditis last season, which means, what does that mean again?
Swelling of the sac.
Swelling of the sac, exactly. It's very, I mean, I just don't understand the whole point to that.
I got to say, pericarditis is serious shit. Because it puts a strain on your heart that your heart can't. Like fully pump the blood through your system, and to be overweight and have that,
right?
That's like a death sentence.
One thing I wondered, though, because Robert wasn't doing well, and as soon as they got back on the bike, remember, he was like, I don't feel good, I feel dizzy, so he went to the medic guy, he goes, we got to get this guy to an ambulance or whatever. But while they were riding the bike, they did cutaways to Robert in the little diary room going, oh, he,
yeah, exactly,
like
yeah.
goofing about how he couldn't breathe. So I'm like, when did they film this?
They filmed it when he got back.
Because
he's fine, he was just dehydrated. Yeah.
What did they do? Hook him up to an IV? Why couldn't he come
exactly.
back that night?
They keep him overnight. They hook him up to an IV, and he'll be fine in a day.
They had to watch him, make sure it wasn't his heart, because
exactly.
I just think it's funny that we're supposed to wonder what happened to him, but they have cutaways of him in the little diary session or whatever.
They should have left.
The show is so overtly manipulative.
Yeah.
And it's like at the end, every week, I mean, if it wasn't bad enough that every week we get the, on the next, most explosive episode. Every week, the next episode's the most explosive.
Somebody throws a hand grenade in the kitchen.
I just have this for a second. Here's this little bit preview again. It's the same, last week they did it, Robert could be in trouble and they had the listen to this. This is ridiculous.
Next time.
I don't even care if I can lose Hell's Kitchen anymore. I'm scared about losing me.
Will Robert be able to return to Hell's Kitchen?
This could be the end.
What? Oh! Come on!
You know what? I want to go to the production house that does work on this thing and just whack everyone with a cricket bat.
What if the guy dies, like, after the show's over? Won't they feel bad about that?
You know, I wouldn't say probably I would not, like though. It, but, you know, it would be like, duh, look what you did, idiots. You made fun of him all this time.
Now he's dead. Okay.
You killed him!
Here's the best part of Hell's Kitchen, though, because Tennille loses her mind in this episode. And I noticed that she had spittle in the corners of her mouth. It was grossing me out.
She's so gross.
I do not want that bitch making me food.
No!
Because she's yelling at Gordon Ramsay as she's cooking. You know spittle's flying on all of the food. I have not heard music like this since, like, this reminds me of, like, Lord of the Rings. They're showing the orc guys or whatever working in the factory.
What's the part where the orcs start arguing and one says you're crap and then the other says no, you're crap?
Yes. I did love that. Gordon was you're crap. You're crap. And it's like, boom, bomb, boom, 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 boom. Just listen to that. It sounds like somebody dropped some garbage cans down a stairway or something. Let's check this out.
Over in the red kitchen.
Tennille, what's all this spinach for? I know you're wearing glasses. Come here. Why is all this spinach cooked like this? You've got 12 portions in there.
Chef, I made enough spinach for all of it that was on order, Chef.
So you can't do one table at a time, reheating spinach?
Yes, Chef, I can, Chef.
Well, wake up!
Yes, Chef.
Wake up!
Yes, Chef.
Cook the spinach to order, you lazy cow.
Whoa.
Chef Ramsay needs to learn how to show some respect, especially when I'm up there working hard.
Stewed spinach? Yeah. Rabbit food. You.
He's a disrespectful British.
All Chef Ramsay needs to complete the order is...
Mash!
Oh, no.
He needs hash?
Tennille, that's my two portions of mash.
Mash!
That's the way I get treated. What the is that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, take something up to the past, it's too much. Take something else, it's not enough. You just gotta find something to bitch about.
And what do you want me to do, scoot round inside?
I thought I was over-portioned again, Chef.
So bizarre. Whether this is a joke or an act for you, let me just tell you something. You act pathetically. Why did you send me that pan with no mashed potato in there?
Chef, the other orders you said I overportioned, Chef, so I put up lighter.
So now you've gone back the other way with all in there. Is that clear?
Yes, Chef.
Good. You upset now?
Yeah.
That you are. Because you're crap.
You're crap.
Oh, no, she did it.
Man, you're not gonna keep talking to me like that.
Hey, madam, get out.
Yes, no problem, yeah. Chef.
Get out.
Oh, I'm out.
Oh, no.
Get out of here.
You.
Jesus.
And I'm trying to maintain
my cool.
That was
Robert falling down the stairs.
Thanks a lot, Tennille.
The percussion is freaking taiko music or whatever they call it.
Thanks a lot.
Hey.
Busting my ass.
That's right.
Busting my ass!
You're lying!
You don't know!
You're lying!
Get off my back!
Busting
my ass!
You ain't bad!
Turn around,
you ain't bad! You ain't nothing! You ain't nothing!
Off through those doors! That's
you
right!
You can dish it, but you can't take it!
Hey, madam!
Oh, let me in the kitchen!
What are you doing?
Just let me in the kitchen!
Listen to me! You're not good enough, man! You're not listening to me! Shut your fat mouth and listen to me!
I'm learning from you!
You're not learning!
I am! You're not
learning! Shut your spittle cake pie hole!
Are you gonna keep it shut? Are you gonna keep it shut?
Just keep it shut!
Shut!
Good. But if you can't hack it, off. If you can, get back in there. Hey, madam.
Yes, sir.
Come here. I want an answer.
I'm on my way back into the kitchen.
Good.
Chef.
Let's go.
Get off my station, please.
The losing team's right. Oh. It's the blue team.
Okay, this part I thought was funny because the guys, they have to pick somebody. And they're like, hey, let's do Robert. He wasn't here.
Yeah, it was that fan guy. He's such an asshole.
He's a dick.
You know, I mean,
where's Robert?
It seemed to me that Gordon Ramsay, when he gets really pissed off, his accent gets stronger or something.
Yeah, he becomes like full-on angry Scotsman.
It's pretty funny when I noticed that. But I just thought those was hilarious. They're like, let's put Robert up. It's like, what the hell?
Person from the blue team and one person from the red team for elimination.
Here's the thing, though. I just want to put this out there. Robert, I just think you shouldn't stay in the game. You miss the service, you're done.
I have strong feelings for that, too.
It's not right, bro.
I think you missed the service, you
done.
Yes. Let's just make a group decision.
Van, your sheriff, who have the men nominated?
I'm trying to figure out where Robert's at.
Shut up, man.
Clearly, Robert's not here. It would be unfair to judge him on a performance.
Robert lost last night. They all feel like shit.
Let me tell you something. If Robert's
I
want not
to know where Robert is. He's in the mall.
In the next service in the house kitchen.
What do you think you cooked tonight?
He's wearing a toe tag.
You served Robert for the evening meal.
That wasn't beef. That was his heart.
You're crap.
Oh, my God. I was like, boom, boom, boom. All right, let's... Cake Boss. Nobody yells at each other on Cake Boss, so that's...
No, but it's because they have an undying love and respect for one another.
They love cake. And this week... They made.
I love cake too, but I hate the Cake Boss.
You know, by the way, this is the season finale of Cake Boss. I believe it's not.
I was shocked at the cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's it or whatever. They just did a little reflection period at the end, like, yeah, we made a lot of cakes this season, and they show them making cakes in black and white or whatever. But they have to do this firework cake, Bill.
No.
And. You know, this company, this family who does all the fireworks for, you know, in New York, 4th of July, and all these places, they obviously handle a lot of big jobs, okay? And it's pretty awesome what they do. So Buddy's idea is to make this piece of shit, kiddie-looking piece of crap cityscape cake where fireworks can shoot out of it. And the way they test it, hey, we got to have a cake that can hold up fireworks, so let's stick an M80 in this, and they blow up cake, and it
splatters.
Dude,
that wasn't an M80. That was like a stick of full-on dynamite.
It's like, boom, it splatters. It didn't make any sense that they did that. It had nothing to do with what real fireworks are all about.
Were you not entertained by that?
Oh, so bad. And I forgot, who did he send to go get the fireworks?
His cousin.
He was like, well, what are you doing?
The guy that went to the park to get pigeons. Yeah. With the wedding cake.
Wow. But the best part here is when they're trying to load the gigantic cake. Did you see this cake?
No, I didn't see it.
Remember
it's
that?
It's absurd. It's got the Statue of Liberty. It's got... I mean, it looks terrible.
The only thing that looked decent was the blonde chick did the Statue of Liberty, and I thought that was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, the Statue of Liberty wasn't bad, but the Empire State Building
Oh, you know what my favorite part is, Bill? Buddy was like, I even threw in a Carlos Bakery there, and there's like a pasted-on picture of him in the window.
Yeah, it's like they cut his picture out of a magazine. and they put it in a window.
What the hell?
Oh my God, Buddy's gigantic. Oh. Somebody help him get out of there.
And he's like, look, there's your dad. He's going to set off the fireworks. He has like a string in his hand. What the hell was that supposed to represent? Do you pull strings to set off fireworks? I
would have
given him one of those things like when you set off a bomb, like in the old cartoons. Give him something like that. That would have been cool.
But yeah, that would have been cool. I would have appreciated that more than the M500 they stuck in that thing.
And another thing is they showed him cutting the cake when he was feeding. I was like, finally they show that people can actually eat this shit. But the best part here is
it's not all made out of Rice Krispies treats.
Yeah, cereal treats and fondant. And this part right here, they're trying to load the cake on the delivery truck and it won't go on, Bill. It won't. They can't.
Oh, no.
It ain't got it, Bill.
You don't got it.
But I think it's when the guy's inside. No, you ain't got it. You ain't got it. And they keep, no, just push it. And they're trying to push it in, even though.
Just cram that son of a bitch in there. She'll take it.
Let's check it out.
Let's do this. Let's go.
Remy, get that side. Remy, get that side.
Go off front. Down. No, no, no. Wait. Go. Get it on. Okay. Oh, wait.
You ain't got it. Ayuno's not listening to me. Just push a little.
Go easy.
You ain't got it. Frankie, you're hot-headed, man. You don't have the room.
Well, you don't have a choice. There's only one way to get this cake into the truck. You gotta take the shelf out.
Moro, I think you got two on this, on each one.
Very dramatic.
And I'm just so frustrated because I know that the clock is ticking, and we got to get this cake through the Lincoln Tunnel, through the Midtown Tunnel, and out to Long Island, okay?
At 5 o'clock at night, New Jersey time, that's like Mission Impossible. I can't believe this.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I can't believe this.
Oh, Maron.
What are they going to do?
So
you're breaking my heart.
You know, there's another part where Buddy's like, hey, go get some of them papas we had when we were kids or whatever. You know, those little things you throw at people's feet and it pops. So he's throwing them down the stairs at his sister's like, oh, you're setting up fireworks down here. It's just like,
I can't believe it, Buddy.
And they're like, Mama, they're throwing fireworks. And she's like, what's going on? They all have smiles on their faces as they're doing this. It's all friggin' rehearsed, man.
Yeah,
they're
so fake. They can't. So bad acting.
Oh, and I think what did he say, Bill? The cock is ticking?
Yeah, he did say the cock is ticking.
Nothing wrong with a bit of cock every now and then.
Yeah,
exactly, Rick.
Apparently the cake boss loves cocks.
Especially ticking cocks.
That's a bit weird.
It is.
All right, let's talk. Bill, Top Chef is back. And hey, let's let the beautiful, gorgeous Padma tell us all about it. What do you say?
Oh, please do. Wait, I got to pull my pants down first.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Was that too much?
You take what you can get, all right?
Top Chef is back.
Let's go, guys.
We've brought 17 of the country's best chefs to battle it out for the title in one of the world's most competitive food scenes, Sin City, Las Vegas. This season, we've lined up our most talented group yet.
I'm here to compete because I feel that I'm the best at what I do.
There are James Beard Award nominees.
I think it's Steve Vai or
to succeed and come out on the other end stronger than I was when I started.
I need some feedback as fast as possible on whether or not they like it.
Several highly skilled executive chefs. And those that have trained under the very best.
I was at Laverne Den with Eric Repair. We got four
stars.
We can have this conversation later. Let's talk about food and focus on this, all right?
Each chef has their own reason for being here.
I got diagnosed with two kinds of lymphoma, but I'm thrilled for every day that I get to continue cooking.
Being gay in the kitchen is tough, but it doesn't matter. We're there to cook.
4 minutes! What?
And two of our chefs have a sibling rivalry to settle.
Shut the f*** up, Brian. F*** yourself.
I realize you weren't done yet, that dick.
I probably talk more trash than my brother does. But it's been like that our whole lives.
That must be why it's so tough in the kitchen. All the dick.
Never before.
The winner gets $15,000.
But to win the title, they must impress some of the world's most accomplished chefs.
I think it was a beautiful executed dish.
Do they have what it takes to prove themselves as culinary high rollers?
I think I should win because I'm the best cook here.
For the winner, a feature in Food & Wine magazine.
$100,000
of merchandise provided by Macy's. A showcase at the annual Food & Wine Classic in Aspen. And $125,000 to help turn their culinary dreams into reality. Furnished by the makers of the Glad family of products. And the title of Top Chef.
Ching! Awesome! I was really excited to watch Top Chef again. It's a fun show. And when you learn that you can win money, there just was one chick wins like $15,000 on the first show. Isn't that how much it was? I'd be like, guys, I could go home now. I wouldn't be that upset, you know?
The idiot that says, it's tough being gay in the kitchen, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if it's tough being gay in the kitchen matter? And it doesn't matter, then why even mention it?
Because he's gay and he wants everyone to know, I'm gay.
Okay,
hello.
Can I mention the chick? Luckily, this girl gets eliminated in the first episode.
Oh.
She has the giant stretched out earlobe.
So big giant tat on her chest.
She's got a throat tattoo. But I
wouldn't eat any food from anybody look like that.
I gotta be honest with you. If you have stretched out earlobes, it makes my stomach churn. I don't want to eat any food you make. Okay, I might try to throw something.
They need to send her to some tribe in Africa that's in the National Geographic. I mean,
we need to put her on a carny trip and you throw balls through the loops.
Where did this originate from?
What about that Jim Jones traveling circus or whatever the hell it is?
Because I know a lot of teenagers are doing this now where they're stretching their earlobes out. I don't know what parents help letting them do that, but I guess you can't make your kids do anything. But
it's gross.
Where did it come from? Where did this
other than the African tribes?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's It's really stupid
looking. Why don't they start
looking?
Putting rings around their necks and stretching them out, too?
Are they trying to look like Ferengi or something? Like, I don't know. You look like some Star Trek alien.
Let them
reject.
Go ahead and learn Swahili, too. Maybe that'll...
I just don't get it. It looks bad, but the throat tattoo looks so stupid.
Oh, it's so classy. You don't like that?
At least, you know, put some, like, cyborg-type drawing there where it looks like your throat's got ripped off and there's, like, metal underneath. That
or
would
wear
be bad.
A turtleneck, please.
Wear a turtleneck. So this chick makes this giant chili relleno with, they said it didn't taste like anything, which is...
Satin.
Oh, they call it seitan or
something. It's wheat gluten. It's just wheat gluten, which is absurd to use.
Yeah, it sounded like Satan, they were saying, but it was like seitan. And there was one guy who was like, that shit tastes awful. Why is she using that? And another guy was like, what is it called again? Like, nobody's even heard of it. Even
it's
when she's
Satan,
when they say pack your earlobes and leave, she said, "Well, I wanted to show them that I did something out there and original. I used an ingredient like nobody would use. You know,
yeah.
I don't think she got
Satan.
It.
Don't
Why don't
you
use
a good ingredient?
Yeah, how about something that has some flavor? But everybody's got tattoos now. I guess I got to get one. I'm going to stretch
yeah,
my earlobes out.
And if you don't have tattoos, you look like a boy. If you're a girl."
Okay,
there's some girl that looks like the kid from Slumdog Millionaire, and there's another girl that looks like
I don't. She
looks like
a dude.
Some boy that just rolled out of bed.
There are two women on here that I thought were males until they spoke.
I know.
Nice.
And I was like, holy androgyny! It's Pat. Before we go on, Bill,
saying,
Top Chef Masters.
Yeah, Top Chef. I watched that one.
I thought that was awesome. All the awesome food
they
made.
That's like a last meal that I'd love to have.
I mean, and I watched the whole series all day long on what Wednesday it was.
Yeah, that's cool when they do that on Bravo. They just show the entire season. And
so I couldn't pull myself away.
Was it? The first thing you remember, you became aware of cooking from your childhood. Something that represents your first restaurant, is that what it was?
Yeah.
And something that represented you as a chef and where you're going.
Yeah.
And just all those guys goofing off together in the kitchen, making their food, excited. And what was that one thing that Keller had? What's his name? Hubert Keller?
Hubert Keller, yeah.
What was that thing he had? And he was smelling it, and he goes, look what I got here. And they were excited.
Oh, truffles.
Yeah, he was like, and...
He had dude, that truffle he had was probably worth $2,000.
Wow.
It was the size of his fist. It was amazing.
And Michael Chiarello was like, holy crap, man. He's like,
yeah.
That goes in Italian and French cooking, so I'm jealous. And Rick Bayless was like, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, you don't need it. That's
truffles, right. Snuffles.
Yeah.
I'm making a Oaxacan mole, bitches.
There was that one thing he made with ham, with pig, that looks so good to me. It even said...
Oh, he made suckling pig, but he made it in like a patty.
Yeah, it just looked... I want to take a bite of that.
Suckling pig is delicious.
I wish he had a restaurant
here. I just
kind
of was wishing that I had tried some of his mole, you know? It was like...
I know. That's one... I would love to go to his Frontera Grill and try some of that stuff.
Where was that? He's in...
Chicago, Illinois. All these places are in Chicago. But I thought it was funny when the judges were like, can we just make sounds of how we appreciate it? And they were like,
yeah.
By the way, one guy is really yay.
James Osland.
He looks like a turtle.
No, you know what? You know, I leaned over to my dad and I was like, that dude is he looks and sounds exactly like Johnny from Airplane.
did I leave the iron on?
What can you make of this?
Like,
I can make a hat.
Johnny,
make
what
a
do you make of this? Well, I can make a brooch. I can make a hat.
I can make a pterodactyl flying through the air.
But I thought that was awesome. Rick Bayless won, and I just wanted to eat their food when it was over.
I was kind of pulling for Rick, too. I don't
even
know why.
Michael Chiarello, you know, he kind of acted like a dick last week, but I'd still eat the hell out of his food, man.
Everything he made looked good. Even that fried fish that people weren't terribly fond of.
What was that weird thing Rick Bayless made at the end with the clams and, like, the weird fluffy thing? What was that?
I honestly can't remember.
They weren't too wild about that.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, it was like a soup.
Yeah.
Was the stew. And it was the mussels. The mussels were dried. So they were dried out a little.
But still, that show was all about food and how much they love food. That's what was cool about it.
And that's awesome.
And they're like, yeah, you can tell he worked, because that mole, 27 years, you could tell he worked on it.
Yeah, he said he'd been trying to perfect it for 20 years. That's pretty awesome.
Anything named Oaxacan is cool in my book. That's just an awesome word.
Hell yeah. Okay, the colony is awesome. They found solar panels. Hey! And what was that cool sensor the dude?
I know, that was crazy.
How
yeah.
did he, that guy's handy to have around.
Actually, he built a motor and a sensor that tracks the sun.
It's like a photo sensor.
So, yeah, so Wizard that they, is what he is.
so the things are always in track with the sun. That's awesome.
Those people are so smart. And
they really are.
They try to throw him for a loop to in this episode by having the guy who... he had a key to their warehouse, their colony. He's like, this is my place.
That dude is scary,
He's
man.
A big old
yeah.
dude, man.
Yeah, he's a big
and
dude.
And the weird mousy chick who never said anything.
Yoko Ono.
And she's just like, don't touch me, or something like that. But let's go ahead and check this out. This is pretty crazy. And did they not just all freaking go batshit at the end? Where they're just like grabbing them? And the thing is,
well,
the guy
they
says,
started stealing shit, and they found that, you know, they were trying to take more canned goods, and they had already stole some and stashed them in his bag. And
yeah. But another thing is they said that they've been instructed not to hurt the people on the show, but they don't know that. And they're, like, physically grabbing them and pushing them and stuff. So I thought that was interesting. Like, because they keep saying the psychology and stuff, like, they feel
you
like they're...
You actually get into it.
Yeah, they feel like they're really there, and that's happening, and food is very important. So let's check this out.
In this phase of the experiment, two outsiders will stake a claim to the colony itself. The last thing the colonists expect is someone walking in with their own key.
Somebody's in here. Somebody's in here. Somebody just got
in. Who the hell are you guys? What's up, man?
A large black man just entered.
You have to stay here. You're in my house.
No, this is my house.
It's your house?
I left here.
You left here, and now...
6 weeks ago, and now what is all this? What?
The two new arrivals have been briefed on the colonist activities over the past 5 weeks.
He left this place trying to get out, and he couldn't get out, and he came back, and he found us.
Yeah, but still, I mean, having a key, you welcome, embrace him, welcome him with open arms, tell him everything, where all our food is. Yeah. I think that was, keeping all our, you know, putting all the cards above the table, that wasn't wise. You know, we're in a survival, we're in a really tense situation, and I just don't feel like that was the best move.
Andre and Liz don't like the rules, so the colonists are ready to see them leave.
Ask you. Liz! Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's go upstairs and get out of here.
John C. gathers up some food to send them off. But the newcomers make one more grab at the colony's resources.
We've got food for you guys.
After weeks of isolation, the volunteers begin to believe that the world of the experiment is real. And therefore, any threat to their food or supplies becomes an actual threat to what is keeping them alive.
This stuff is ours just as much as it is yours.
Andre and Liz have been sent in to test the colonists' unity and complacency. They've been instructed not to physically harm the colonists, but the colonists don't know that. And accidents can happen.
Get off of me, Blondie.
What would happen if Mike shivved him or something?
I know.
He made that giant spear thing.
Joey jumps in there like drop kicks the guy.
Fuck you, man. Okay, well, you gotta take it.
Oh, shit, what's going on?
Don't you ever touch me.
That blonde chick went nuts, baby.
We get any water, we get any food, and all you want to do is steal. Get the out.
You know what really set the blonde chick off is when the chick, Liz, used all of their hot water at the shower.
I know.
Because they have to haul all the water up on the roof to get it in there. She's like, she used all the water.
Yeah, and they limit, you know, to 1 minute use of water. you know, they're allowed to wet themselves down, use a soap, and then do whatever else they can. And this chick just takes like a 20-minute shower, like,
Yeah, I was thinking how to do that. I think I'd get a little bit of water on me, lather up, and then pull it, and just, you know, when I'm taking a shower. But anyway, I thought way too much about that. But I thought that was really cool that how just the way the mindset is they – it doesn't seem like Cake Boss where they're all pretending to be mad at each other. This seems like they're really into this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like you said, you get that the psychology behind it is when you're isolated like that,
mm-hmm.
Does your mind play tricks on you? You know, it's like, dude, this is real life for us.
Oh, yeah. These people are totally thinking.
And the fact that they're all living in that place.
And despite that they're so smart, you know. It's like,
yeah, it's like they're super intelligent, but still, you know, I know there's some things they're kind of thinking about. Can they really think they're in danger? I don't know. It would freak me out if somebody...
Well, I mean, with the cameras there, it's kind of hard to...
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd
be different if they had maybe like Big Brother type cameras hidden or something
like
that.
Cameras, no. But,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. It would be so much more interesting if the cameras weren't like camera guys. Because whenever the blonde chick goes after Yoko Ono... They have to flip the light on the camera, and it's like, wait, you know, all of a sudden you're taken right out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, this show looks gorgeous in HD, by the way.
It does.
So I guess we
look extra dirty.
I thought I was smelling bad Chinese.
Oh.
That's not nice.
Boo.
Al Roker's a racist.
Let's talk about Entourage briefly. This week, I got to say that, you know, Eric's girlfriend, the young girl who is 12, 13 years old, she has her own business and she has this giant house she lives in. Very believable, right?
Right.
When he accidentally called her Sloan, I thought that was hilarious, first of all. Mm. And the fact that she dumps him over that. Awesome. I actually was very happy over that. Cause
I was cheering that. I was like, oh, thank God we don't got to look at that emaciated wench anymore.
You see it, freaking Skeletor. But this
yeah,
whole,
she does kind of look like Frank Langella.
This whole episode is about Jamie Lynn, you know, Tony Soprano's daughter, dating Turtle. And she's, you know, guest starring on Drama Stupid Show, and this NBC executive, is this Ben Silverman or supposed to be? I don't know. But,
yeah, I don't know.
But he's hitting on her, and now Drama feels responsible.
Well, he wasn't at first.
Yeah, he was just...
Until Drama put the idea into his head.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to think, that's probably in the back of the guy's head, because he's banging some chick on Lost, he's banging a chick on Brothers and Sisters, not Sally Field. Remember, Drama goes, Sally Field? He's like, no, not Sally Field. But what do you guys think about, you know, the show? I don't know. Is the show about Vinny? I don't know. He goes and he bangs some college chick. He's
Man, she was hot, too.
Filming it or whatever.
It's yeah. Right now, it's not.
He's got
you
nothing
know,
to do.
There's nothing going on. It's
and,
like,
hey, Turtle's at college, you guys. You know how? He's got a backpack on as he's walking around. He's in college.
They put him in an Izod type shirt and a sweater.
It really is painful, though.
It's like, wow, they've got nothing this season.
I like Timothy Busfield as directing his show Five Towns.
You know, and at least... at least when they were making the bad movie with Billy, there was something going on. It was
exactly.
Crazy.
Vinny's got nothing to do, man. Will we ever see anything about this sex tape, or do you think it just gets dropped after this episode?
No, it just gets dropped.
They might bring it up next season.
Yeah.
But the chick still had her top on.
And then what about Jamie Gertz flipping out in the agency?
Yeah.
Man, she certainly is a long way from Solar Babies.
Solar Babies?
Man, she's looking haggard.
Yeah, I wonder, is she in her 40s or something? She's got to be in her 40s by
she's
now.
She's like 48.
She's got to be in her 50s.
Yeah, almost 50. Oh, she's looking pretty good for that age, right?
No,
huh?
No, she is. Yeah, I think she's 48. Because I was looking
2009
online.
2009 minus 9.
Get off your rockers!
Whoa.
She's 44.
Ah.
Stop laying in the sun.
Well, they could make her look older because she's, you know, supposed to be married to Gary Cole or whatever.
She needs to get one of those oxygen chambers.
You know, she was on that one sitcom recently. I forget what it was called. But
Still Standing.
Yeah, she didn't look bad on that. So I bet they're trying to make her look a little bit housefrau, kind of hippie kind of chick or whatever.
I just remember she played Gilda Radner in one of those TV movies. I thought was hilarious.
So let's go ahead and check out the scene at the end where drama, remember, that's what he does on the show. He flips out over something. He won't let it go.
Yeah.
He's got a save Jamie Lynn from this guy. So let's check this out.
What are you doing here, John?
Where's Jamie?
Would you give us a second, please? What, do you have some kind of self-destructive career death wish?
I just want to know who she is.
She should be back on set. I finished with her 20 minutes ago.
Did you fuck her, Dan?
What?
Did you fuck her?
You hitting that, John?
No, but my boy is, which means you better not be.
Ooh, careful, Johnny. You are not a good enough actor to threaten your boss.
Yeah, well, I'm a good enough friend. Keep that in mind.
Relax. I didn't fuck her. But I'm going to. Because all I can think about now is how sweet it would be to ram Tony Soprano's daughter from behind. Big mistake, John. I can have you killed.
Yeah, by who?
The writers.
I loved his face there when he said the right. Like, it's like,
dead man walking.
I'm screwed. I love that was really the writers.
Yeah.
But
he's such an idiot.
I don't care anything about Eric's storyline, getting the job with Jordan Siegel or any of that. Do you guys care?
No. No.
Nah, not so much. So whatever, we'll see what happens.
I don't care about Turtle going to college.
Yeah, Turtle's going to college.
Quite frankly, I don't care about drama either.
He's wearing a backpack.
It was funny, but because you know it was so stupid, it was just like, yeah, it's so unbelievable. That's really all they have? Really?
That's it.
Really?
That's all they got.
Canceled.
Canceled. And
I wish, but it got renewed again.
You guys want to see something funny? Like, here, do this, Steven. I'm serious. This will crack you up. Read TV Squad, where the guy writing the article pans Entourage, and then read the comment section where everyone's defending it. There's nothing more pathetic when you're defending Entourage in a comment section of a website.
I'm like,
is it all bad?
Women?
Well, the funniest thing anyone says is, well, if you don't like it so much, stop watching it. Oh, okay.
I'm ready to. Okay, I'll stop right away.
It's like, okay, I'm not. That's the funniest thing I've ever read about, like, Smallville. Smallville people, oh, you don't like it, don't watch it. No, we like making fun of the stupid shit.
I know.
It's not stupid.
It's still on the air.
It's entertainingly stupid, yeah.
Well, okay, hotshot.
All right, let's talk about True Blood. And you guys probably won't pick my favorite moment in the whole episode. You can probably guess, but you probably won't get it right. So, you know, there's the whole thing with Godrick, right?
Mm-hmm.
The scene I really liked, it wasn't my favorite, though, Sookie and Jason in bed talking about all the crazy shit they've seen, and then seeing Steve and Sarah on the TV and kind of bickering at each other. I thought that was hilarious.
What did he call them?
God,
he had a one-liner that was really funny.
I can't remember.
Damn it.
The whole, you know, I really liked that part. It really hit home where they were talking about we're the only people in our family. We're all that's left. I thought that was really, really cool. And I started thinking about, you know, family and offspring. And I was like, maybe I should have a couple more kids. I don't know. Like, I thought about my daughter not having a sibling. I really thought of that in that scene. Like, she needs a brother or something. It was kind of weird that during a vampire show that occurs to me as I'm watching it. But that's how well written I thought that scene was. But, my favorite.
When that night you go to being a Heather.
We need to make a sibling.
But, what do you want now?
But my favorite part of the show was when Hoyt goes to talk to his mom about meeting Jessica, and he tells her about how filled with hate she is. I thought this scene was hilarious, especially the line about Methodists. You hate Methodists. I have my reasons. But let's go ahead and check this out.
Mahoit would never have run off to Dallas without a word, with murders all over the place. Mahoit would never have left me worried sick, thinking he was dead, or worse.
With a vampire? Go ahead and speak your mind.
See what I mean? All of a sudden, you're a different person.
Well, I sure did want to be.
What do you think your daddy would say?
No, I don't have any idea, because the only time that you ever mention him is when you're trying to make me do something that I don't want to do. So while we're at it, let's talk about that.
I want my sweet child back. I haven't done anything to deserve this. And what are you doing with vampires anyway? They are wrong, wrong, wrong. They are devils.
Why do you have so much hate in you?
I don't.
That's a flat lie.
Who do you think you're talking to?
My mama, who hates Methodists.
I got my reasons.
And Catholics.
Just priests and nuns.
African Americans.
Hush. That's a secret.
People who take care of their gardens, and people who park the trucks up on their lawn, and ladies who wear red shoes.
It looks cheap.
Families with lots of kids, and checkered curtains, and cats, and dogs, and bait. Every girl that I ever liked. And the more that I like them, the more that you hate them.
I simply object to a girlfriend who will kill you and eat you. I think that's reasonable.
You don't even know her. Full of hate. I see you now.
Well, it's not my fault. It's the way I was raised up.
Jessica may be a vampire, but she's the one for me. You don't have any say over that.
You are breaking my heart.
You know, I let you run me around because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Those days are over. Now I want you to meet her. But if you can't be nice, then I will leave this house and never come back. And don't think that I won't.
Oh, please. You're my one son.
Oh, I'm not yours, Mama. I'm mine.
You're my baby boy.
I'm not a baby! I'm a grown-ass man!
I love that whole scene. And later on when she meets Jessica and she says the awful thing about never being able to have babies. What an evil woman! And I gotta say, there was a Smallville moment on True Blood this week. Do you guys know
what
it was?
Yes, there was!
It's when Marianne goes into Merlot's. She goes, "I want some Merlot," and everyone. That reminded me of like something that happened in Smallville.
Yep. The entire place is all windy, and
I thought that was hilarious. But yeah.
I cannot wait until she dies.
No, when I see the previews and Jason has a chainsaw, is he going to chainsaw her head off? I hope.
Yeah, I think there can only be one.
That'd be awesome. Oh, and I know.
And then they eat it. And then they rip their shirts off.
That scene where Lafayette and her mom go to get Tara, and she's like screaming at the top of her lungs. It was like, Jesus Christ. Like, as they're hauling her. But I did like Lafayette beating the shit out of, he pretty much manhandled Eggs, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's got the vampire blood in him.
Because he's fantastic Lafayette.
But that. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so, can this storyline just end?
So it looks like next week, pretty much she can turn the town into zombie-like people. Except they go back to normal, so you can't really start shotgunning them, though. So that'd be bad. But I did.
Oh, that would be awesome,
like that
though.
One, what'd you get arrested for? Sodomizing a tree. Like, what?
Yeah. I love Sam turning into a fly. I thought that was cool. We knew he could turn into animals. He could turn into an insect, too. That was pretty cool. But what did you guys think of the whole Godric thing at the end when he...
That was pretty moving. I was moved by that. I thought that was pretty good.
It was, you know, it was pretty evil how Eric tricked Sookie into tasting his blood, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Eric's an asshole.
But then he shows, like, he's got feelings for Godric, which was... kind of weird, like he's this very stoic kind of no emotion vampire, but then you see him break down, he's crying and stuff. So that was kind of crazy. And that crazy sex dream she had with Eric.
Yeah. That was... Man, I'm surprised how often Sookie or Anna Paquin's showing off her boobs, man. It's like every other episode now. She's whipping them suckers out.
She's comfortable.
Good for her.
She's comfortable on the set.
Show them boobs.
So, next week, True Blood, let's do some news. We spent too much time talking about Avatar. All right, Bill, let's do the news.
All right.
OMG.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right. According to a story in the Daytona Beach News Journal, police found a 27-year-old man passed out across the street from the Halifax River Yacht Club. Near him were several bottles of beer and a blue cooler with Halifax River Yacht Club written on it. The police charged the man with robbery from the Halifax River Yacht Club. He had no fixed address. Apparently, he was not a member of the yacht club. I've never stolen a beer, but I've borrowed some. He said. Well, you know what?
Well, I guess you don't keep it forever, do you?
Well, funny, you know, man.
You can always replace it.
Fill that bottle back up.
This story straight from M. Daddio. A 12-year-old California boy is under arrest for allegedly setting his friend on fire.
Oh my God!
Twice.
Jesus.
The victim, the 13-year-old boy, suffered severe burns to his legs as well as burns to his arms and abdomen. Fire officials say the two were playing in a treehouse Wednesday and filled a balloon with lighter fluid. Wow.
No!
That's genius.
Wow.
The balloon broke, soaking the 13-year-old in the fluid. According to officials, as he started to leave to go change his clothes, the 12-year-old lit him on fire. The victim patted out the flames, but then the 12-year-old allegedly lit him ablaze again.
What?
Yeah, that little bastard.
No shit.
Sacramento Fire Captain Jim Doucette said he doesn't know if the suspect intended to hurt his friend or is just being playful.
You dick!
Yeah, if it involves fire, being playful is kind of, you know, an understatement. He was taken to juvenile hall and faces arson charges. Oh, shit, they took him to juvie.
How badly was the other guy hurt?
I guess he had some second-degree burns. It says severe burns to his legs, so I'm guessing second, third-degree burns.
So he's not going to be, like, permanently scarred for the rest of his life, hopefully?
He probably will.
It
all depends. He might need a skin graft. All depends on how well it heals. But, yeah, I mean, that's just dumb. You don't put lighter fluid on your body or in a balloon.
You're crap.
Wow.
That's crap. There was a story that came out this week saying that the majority of video game players are over 30, overweight, and depressed.
Why are they depressed?
Which I kind of thought was bullshit. But there was another story released that said that actually video games help depression.
I would think so. Those people are nuts.
Yeah, it's...
You guys are hop nuts.
Ugh. Gail Nichols has suffered from depression for years. When the 49-year-old resident of St. Mary, Kansas can't sleep, she falls back on a form of entertainment that is gaining increasing credibility as a medical intervention, video games. Nichols said she discovered the mental health benefits of video games some years ago during a particularly bad spell of depression. She started playing Bejeweled, which requires players to move gems into rows based on their color, when she could not get to sleep one night and was tormented by mental pain. She turned on the computer and played the game for hours. In the day, you can find someone to talk to, but games are a big help getting through to the next morning. Nichols liked the game so much that she got in touch with the manufacturer. The inventors of the game were surprised to hear about its possible mental health benefits, and the company decided to study Bejeweled's untapped potential systematically. In a preliminary study that PopCap commissioned and funded, researchers found that volunteers who played Bejeweled displayed improved mood and heart rhythms compared with volunteers who weren't playing. Huh. The preliminary study was published this year in the Annual Review of Cybertherapy and Telemedicine. Now the company is about to launch a second phase of the testing to see if video games can have measurable effects on clinical markers of depression. So there you go, people. Casual gaming actually helps you.
Huh, but I don't want to play Bejeweled, though.
My dad is obsessed with that shit.
Dude, I
every time I walk past his room, he's either playing Bejeweled or Peggle.
All right,
next story. A Portland, Oregon, a foul stench coming from a Gresham home recently caused neighbors to call police. What does that normally mean?
Dead body.
Yeah, the house on Southwest Binford Lake Parkway had 3 feet of trash stacked up on parts of the floor, rotten deli meats, old cartons of juice, and empty soda cans. It smelled like death.
It's a strong smell.
Two doors down. And late July, the odor got so bad, neighbors called police. When they arrived, officers found the homeowner dead inside.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah. That's why it smelled like death. In the police report, the Gresham officer wrote, "In my 5 years of law enforcement, this is the worst, most filthy house I've ever been in. The smell is overpowering. There was trash that filled every inch of the floor inside, to include papers, pop cans, bottles, packages of beef, chicken, and other unimaginable items that were so old I could not identify them." Officers removed the homeowner's body, but the rancid conditions remained. City officials say they'd like to see the house torn down. That dude left one hell of a legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching a show on A&E called Hoarders.
Hoarders.
They do that same thing. They're beyond pack rats.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, where they'll, like, drive by places, and if people have, like, something that looks interesting next to their garbage or something, they'll take it home with them. Yeah.
And they can't even use it when they get it home.
Yeah, no. But I could use it maybe one day.
Yeah, this guy had in his backyard a deck that was taken off somebody's house. It's like, well...
A deck?
Yeah, it was a huge, like, like 10 feet wide by about 20 feet long deck just sitting in the middle of the lawn in his backyard.
Is that a form of OCD?
It's got to be. It's a sickness.
Yeah, it's a sickness.
I'm going to watch that show.
Yeah, watch it. It's crazy because usually there's two people for an hour episode, so they kind of go back and forth. And they talk to people and tell them, okay, you have to throw this away. I can't throw it away for you. So
they don't want to.
Oh, yeah. They have to talk to them and tell them why this lady wouldn't throw away, like, expired yogurt out of her refrigerator.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's already spoiled. How could it get any worse?
The cultures are still active.
Yeah, exactly. She was saying, she was arguing that.
Weird.
So that one's going in the book. All right.
Huh? Cool.
All right. Here we go. Henrico, Virginia. Surveillance video captured images of a man stealing porno valued between $130,000 and $150,000 from an adult store in Henrico County.
The
burglary of the DVDs happened early Sunday morning at Taboo. Police have yet to make an arrest. This is the store's second burglary in 4 years. 15 DVD books were stolen from a locked cabinet, which contained a stack of roughly 4,000 DVDs.
Holy crap!
That is, man, that dude's got porn for the rest of his life.
No.
He'd never be able to watch all those. He should share the love.
My God.
The suspect was able to bypass the alarm and motion sensors and steal the business's computer operating system and stereo as well. So not only can he watch some porn, he can surf the internet and jam out to some tunes.
And get some free porn on the internet.
Redonkulous.
That's awesome. That dude rocks.
But you are Mr. Pectacular.
Oh, yes. I love my man boobs. Okay, a Chick-fil-A drive-thru disagreement turned violent when two young men repeatedly punched a woman after she slapped one of them during a yelling match.
Oh, my God.
No one had been arrested Sunday as investigators attempted to sort out the details. The woman suffered a busted lip and was treated at the scene. The assault happened around 11 a.m. Saturday at the Chick-fil-A restaurant. According to preliminary police reports, the woman, who police did not identify, and her husband had just finished making a purchase at the drive-thru. Just in front of them was a Bentley, but they couldn't get around it, so her husband called twice. The Bentley driver got out of his car, and a woman exited the passenger side of the couple's vehicle. The Bentley driver and the woman yelled at each other. Within seconds, two young men got out of the Bentley and joined in the dispute. One of the young men slapped the woman, who kicked him back. Two men knocked the woman to the ground and punched her. The woman's husband tried to get out of his vehicle, but the Bentley driver kept him from getting out. At some point, employees stepped outside and to help, and the three men climbed back into the Bentley and drove off. Wow. Not often do you hear about people in Bentleys going to Chick-fil-A, but apparently if you see a Bentley in a fast food lane, it's steer clear, they'll beat the shit out of you.
Is Chick-fil-A owned by Mormons?
I believe so.
Interesting.
Is it really?
I think so, because they're always closed Sundays.
They're closed on Sundays.
And every time I eat Chick-fil-A, I get bloated. I feel like I'm going to die.
I just don't eat. I can't eat
that. That must
anymore.
Be that that Mormon fulfillment.
No!
It's possible.
Just chicken. I know their peach milkshakes are delicious. They have them on in the summers, and I'll always try to stop and get one whenever during
those
the summer.
Ice, those things called chocolate ice dreams or something like that. I forget what it's called.
There was one?
I'm looking to see closed on Sundays. Shit.
I can have you
killed. They just choose not to.
That's right.
Be open on Sunday. Because they're practical and spiritual. There you go.
Okay.
They're happy people. Huh. Speaking of spiritual, Mrs. Jesus was arrested at a car dealership.
Mrs. Jesus.
Yes, Mrs. Jesus. A Jacksonville woman who said she is the wife of Jesus Christ was charged with fraud Monday when she tried to purchase a car with a bad check.
Oh, Jesus is going to be pissed.
Yeah, I know.
You want another bad check?
Forgive them, Father. She knows not what she does. Emma Kim Tashish Harrison, so that's Jesus' wife's full name, 25, walked into the Coggin Pontiac dealership on Blanding Boulevard looking for some new wheels. She settled on a vehicle that cost almost $70,000, but things hit a snag when she grabbed her checkbook. A representative from a bank in California informed the dealership's financial manager that the account Harrison supplied was bad. So were the names on the check signed Mr. and Mrs. Jesus and Emma Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, at least she's original, right? Huh?
Jesus and Emma Christ.
That's a bit
yes.
weird.
Officers who detained Harrison found a host of credit cards and checks in her purse. Some issued to Emma Harrison, others made out to Emma Christ. She said she doesn't work but owns a traveling website that people just deposit money into.
What the hell is a traveling website?
Well, hell, I'm gonna start a traveling website so people can deposit money into it.
Is it a website about traveling or a traveling website?
It's like a traveling Wilbury.
Yes, you know, eventually that website's going to pop up on your computer. You will have no choice over it.
It traveled into my room.
It's not my fault. It does what it wants.
And
it
won't leave until you give it money.
I guess
investigate. Yeah. It's one of those mooching websites.
Bastard.
Investigators also discovered Harrison has never had a driver's license. Oh,
sweet.
She was charged with organized fraud, forging bank bills, and uttering forged bills, all felonies. She remains in Duval County Jail without bail. And where was all her husband in this? She said Jesus Christ would return next week to sign the paperwork and pick up the car.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
Right.
And that's the news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news.
No problem.
Awesome. Hope Jesus gets his car.
I know.
Second
time. That sounds like it's
a
nice
car.
$70,000?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a Chrysler.
He's got some taste, yo.
Yeah.
Well, okay, hotshot.
What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! HD Blu-ray Standard Definition! DVDs! Woo! What? All right, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs in this week, Tuesday, August 25th, 2009.
You guys are hot.
We're starting
nuts.
Out with Adventureland on
DVD. You're off your rockers.
I'm Hoff nuts.
Isn't the guy who's in Adventureland also in Zombieland?
Yes, Jesse Eisenberg.
You guys are Hoff nuts. So I guess his agent's like, I got another Land movie.
Excellent.
I'm
interested in this film because it was actually shot at the amusement park that I went to growing up, Kennywood Park in West Mifflin, Pennsylvania, just outside Pittsburgh.
I remember you talking about this when it came out, and I really want to see this because I like these type of movies, you know, about childhood or, you know, summertime or whatever. Kind of like Sasquatch Gang or something like that. I just love these
kind of like
movies.
A coming of age thing.
Yeah, definitely. Your first love, that kind of thing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
What?
It's always...
what the Jeez. Hell? Jesus, Cake
so
Boss.
Angry.
What
All
the
right,
hell
moving
is
on.
What?
Did he hear Rick?
Rick
what
loves
the hell
it.
Is this movie?
What the hell is this movie?
I guess he's never next heard of it. DVD is a set, an amazing set. Batman, the complete animated series, all four seasons.
Awesome. Those were awesome, dude.
Yeah, really terrific show. I think I already have them all separately, but if you don't, definitely pick this up. One of the best cartoon series ever.
Totally badass.
This next DVD set is my choice for DVDs of the week.
Sweet.
The Billy Jack Collection.
Billy Jack. I love Billy Jack.
The first original Billy Jack has been remastered.
Oh, dude, tell me it's on a Blu-ray.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Oh, what
But it
the...
does have two audio commentaries.
Sweet.
Oh. So, there you go. And, of course, the Billy Jack Collection has all four films, including the first. Born Losers, Billy Jack, The Trial of Billy Jack, and my personal favorite, Billy Jack Goes to Washington.
Right. The first movie was actually didn't have Billy Jack in the title. Born Losers?
No, it was Born Losers, yeah.
Huh. Awesome.
Billy Jack is one badass half Indian.
Yep. And he takes his shoes off whenever he's going to kick some ass. Always remember that.
Because he doesn't want to get blood on him.
He's always really calm,
Keeps
too,
that
isn't
round
he?
Cap hat on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the Indian feather. Like band
Which
thing
one is
around
it? Where's the kids in the school? Which one? Was that Billy Jack?
That was the original Billy Jack.
I thought that movie was messed up, yo. And I saw it as a kid. Why was
I remember
why was I watching that as a
this
child?
This terrible.
Should my parents have let me watch that as a kid?
Probably not.
No, absolutely not.
I was watching it too as a kid.
It's like they were just busy in the other room or something.
I was watching it with my dad.
I think I saw it with my dad too whenever I was a kid.
I was like, "Yeah, this
He's
is
like,
great."
Check this out. This dude takes his shoes off and then kicks ass.
And check it out. There's kids in the movie, so it's got to be good for you, Bill.
It's a kids movie.
Dude, oh my god! All right, next. Oh boy. Next DVD set is the Richard Grieco series Booker.
Yeah! Whoa! Yeah, buddy!
The wait is over.
Yes, it is. All 21 episodes of this Fox television series that co-starred Lori Petty.
I know my sisters will love that. They friggin' recorded that. Booker's on!
Booker hates authority and being told what to do. Remember that? He goes on his own missions to benefit his friends and family, not the company or the government.
The theme music is Billy Idol, that Hot in the City song, you know?
Yeah.
So bad. Hot in the city.
In the city. Hot in the city tonight.
And remember, this is a spinoff of 21 Jump Street.
Yes, it is.
Proof that Fox had nothing. That was a spinoff of Booker.
Fox in the early 90s was easily one of the worst stations.
There was one?
It's just bad, 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 bad.
I remember back in when Fox first came on, it was Married with Children, 21 Jump Street. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Tracy Ullman's show.
Speaking of awesome, Dungeons and Dragons, the complete animated series.
Awesome. I thought this was already out, though.
No. Just the first volume, but now they're releasing the complete series.
Oh,
ran from 83 to 85.
That is so wicked, Bonzical, yo.
With the voices of Willie Ames and Peter Cullen.
That's right. And don't forget Uni. I loved Uni, the unit.
I forget the opening thing, and I just remember.
And Eric, the Cavalier, that was
Yes.
Donnie Most, wasn't it? Ralph
Yes,
Mouth?
It was. It was Donnie Most.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
awesome.
So funny, on the back of the DVD, it's Don Most.
Yeah.
Don Most? What the hell was that? Oh.
He got older.
But I remember this series as a kid. I wouldn't watch it because, you know, I was brainwashed by the fundamentalist church that Dungeons & Dragons could rip the soul out of your chest implant demons in it.
No, that was such a cool show, man. I actually thought it had good storylines, too.
I wouldn't know because I was,
my little demons and let them go on their own.
Will you watch it now, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. I don't care if I become possessed by someone.
By Donnie Most or Willie
Ames. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no.
Come on, it's friggin' Bible Man is doing the voice. He knew it was okay.
Yeah, really.
I mean, come on.
But I think that's when Bible Man was snorting multiple rails a day.
Milk it, honey. Milk it.
Rails.
Next DVD is the Dito Montiel film, Fighting, with Channing Tatum and Terrence Howard.
What? How do you say that guy's name?
Dito Montiel. From what I understand, the movie's not bad.
Guy who likes street fights or something?
Yeah, I guess so.
You guys are Hoff nuts!
Shut up!
Yes, sorry. But it's on DVD and Blu-ray, so, you know, if you want to throw it on the Blu-ray queue and Netflix, have at it.
Awesome! Steven, would you ever do that? Go on the fighting circuit for money?
I was on it for
That's
a while.
Actually what Steven does.
That's what you're doing. You're traveling, getting in fights. You're like in the movie Lionheart, where they bet. It's like illegal fights or whatever.
See the burn on the back of my hand?
What is the burn from?
I can't tell you.
Whoa.
Whoa, what the hell was that?
Oh, Steven, leave me alone. This isn't one of your fights.
This is the first rule. You don't talk about it.
It's shell shock. And
all right,
back
next
to you,
DVD is a film called The Informers, based on the novel by Bret Easton Ellis.
Oh, that dude who wrote Lesson Zero.
Yeah, and American Psycho.
Yeah, American Psycho.
This is supposedly one of his best-selling novels. I wanted to see it, but I guess it kind of went in the theater and then went out. I guess maybe they thought they would make more money on it if they put it on DVD and Blu-ray quicker. I don't know.
Little American Psycho-esque.
But it's got Billy Bob Thornton, Mickey Rourke, Winona Ryder, Kim Basinger, Rise Ifsen. How the hell do you say his name? The dude that's in Henry series on Showtime. Reese Ifsen. Who the hell knows? I think it was the last movie that Brad Renfro did before he died, too.
That sucks. But hey.
It,
maybe it's a good movie, right?
Yeah, it, from what I heard here, it's got a great soundtrack, like lots of new wave '80s
sweet
type stuff. So,
huh.
But you know, it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, Los Angeles.
Yeah, yo.
Yeah, so I'm definitely gonna check it out. I gotta throw it on my queue.
You're off your rockers.
Yes, yes, we're Hoff nuts. We know. I hate that guy.
He's drunk and he's Hoff nuts.
Why not get your hipster bullshit on and pick up the Criterion edition of The Last Days of Disco?
Awesome.
With Chloe Sevigny and Kate Beckinsale. Sorry.
Yeah, I remember this movie. I remember being bored during it.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's like one of those hipster movies from the late 90s.
What's
where it's
the
like
director's name?
Whit Stillman.
Yeah, Whit Stillman. He does the real talky kind of things. I mean, the dialogue, it can be funny and clever, but the movie seemed really long. He also did Barcelona, I believe, and something
else.
Yeah,
but you know what's funny? Matt Kessler is in it. What's his name from, I'm completely brain farting.
I'm blanking on you. Matt Kessler. I don't know who that is.
Middleman.
Oh, Matt Kiesler. Isn't it
Kiesler? Sorry. Kieslar.
You're right. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, but and Jennifer Beals and a couple other ones. But really, come on, who watches this and says it's good or enjoys it?
I don't. So, you know, I don't think the movie's bad. I just think it's long. You know, it's I'll just leave it at that.
Well, see, it's not long. It's just boring.
Oh, is it like only
being
like 45
boring,
minutes?
Being boring, it makes
it's 113 minutes.
Well.
It's just boring.
It's just a talky movie where they sit around in discos and talk.
Yeah,
it's
they sit around in Studio 54 in the last days of it.
Yeah, it's not like Studio 54, the movie, is the complete opposite of this movie.
What did he say?
Now, if this had an outlandishly gay Mike Myers in it, it would have been good.
What the hell is this movie?
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Life,
I don't know.
Season 2. They should call it the final season.
Yeah, Life is a decent show, and they canceled
it. Yeah, I loved watching it week in and week out.
Thanks a lot, NBC. Another show you cancel.
NBC always knows what's good. Hey.
Oh, what? People like the show? Let's cancel it.
Yeah,
let's leave Heroes on, though.
It's charming. It's interesting. It has a decent carrying on storyline. It's got good actors. Screw it. Cancel that shit.
In a very strange way.
I thought it had a pretty decent finale, but it should have...
It did.
Come on, bring it back for another season. For Christ's sakes, Medium has survived and even gone to another network.
Medium could survive a nuclear holocaust.
So has The Ghost Whisperer. Did it go to SIFI too, or...
No.
No, it's on CBS now.
Medium went from NBC to CBS.
Oh, the old Ghost Whisperers have moved to SIFI.
Oh, you mean it's just whatever you call it? They're showing
reruns,
old reruns. Yeah.
Yeah, they're showing reruns of it.
Kelsey Grammer
is the
angel of death.
It's time for another release of an '80s tits and ass comedy, Screwballs.
Screwballs? Oh, nice.
But get this, it's not only on DVD, it's on Blu-ray.
Plus coming soon, Molly Ringwald.
I guess she's the wife of the Angel of Death.
Now, is Screwballs the one where the guy sticks his penis in a bowling ball?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
As Principal Stuckoff and Bootsy Goodhead.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a bad...
We need joysticks.
And it's on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Wow.
They are devils.
I just remember this movie came out, and it makes Porky's look like it's high art.
It's like friggin' Kubrick did Porky's or something.
Yeah, it's...
This is a special kind of movie. Next DVD is a film we've referenced quite a few times. It just hit Hulu last week. Second Skin,
right.
The documentary about people who play MMORPGs.
What?
Good Lord. Yeah, I did watch this. Second Skin, people who play...
It's funny. I've watched EverQuest. It, too, and it's like... Some people, it's really good for them. Some people, it's really sad. Some people, it's, you know, it just, it's so weird how you would never think that massively multiplayer online role-playing games would affect so many people in different ways.
Right. Like, World of Warcraft is the main one that's mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
EverQuest
is mentioned quite a bit, too.
Right. But the main thing about it is that it's addictive. And it takes over a lot of people's lives. And there's one guy who blames it for much of what's happened in his life. And then he does a 180 and decides it's his fault. And then he changes his life.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. But there's also the guy whose wife is pregnant with twins.
Oh.
He knows that he's got to play as much as he can because he's not going to be able to anymore. Mm-hmm. And he has for Christ's sakes, he has his buddies over like doing a LAN party playing... World of Warcraft. Why can't they just stay home? You know? Why do they have to be over this house?
Can you imagine how stressful that is for the wife?
I know, and she's just
that
like...
That baby's going to have, like, mental problems when it's born.
Well, the funny thing is they do an expansion called the Burning Crusade on World of Warcraft.
Yes, yeah.
And these guys, they wait in the line like at Best Buy to buy it, and I guess the whole thing is you need to get to level 70 on this expansion,
yes.
Right? They were in a race to do it first. And the guy with the most responsibility did it faster than anyone. He was staying up like all night playing this game.
And it's just grinding. It's so boring.
And it doesn't even look like they're having fun. It's like a chore to do.
You know what else is really crazy associated with World of Warcraft? Have you noticed that DirecTV is broadcasting BlizzCon? This weekend, today and tomorrow, I think it's like $50. It's they're broadcasting 24 hours a day. This huge convention that Blizzard throws, all about their games like World of Warcraft, StarCraft, and all these games.
Right.
And I was like, wow. I guess there's concerts and stuff like that. That go on, and you get to pay $50 and get to watch it on DirecTV. I was like, wow, that's really kind of pathetic.
Well, there was this one couple they met in EverQuest, and they go cross-country to meet each other. Then they move in together, and they didn't seem like they were right for each other at all to me. And, you know, they would have arguments, and the guy would disappear for a while. It's so weird. And they even go to, like, a convention, like a SOE convention, remember? And the main thing, you know, I played Star Wars Galaxies with you, Bill, and the shit is addictive where you don't want to get off the computer, but you have to. That's the way it was with me. I always had to. I got to get off of this. I can't play. And you almost like dream of, man, it'd be so great if I could just play this all the time. No, it wouldn't be great.
When we were in the height of playing Star Wars Galaxies, I swear to God, I would wake up, go to the bathroom, get something to eat, sit down at the computer, not move for 12 hours, rinse and repeat. I mean, it was my dreams were in Star Wars Galaxies.
Right. And you know,
it was really, really bad.
This lady talks about that she has memories that happened in the game, but her brain thinks they really happened, like in the real world. And I'll have remember, hey, Bill, remember that time we did? And we never were actually there. We were playing it in a game. And it's like that. And, I mean, honestly, it's you become enslaved into these games. And
you do.
They had some interesting things with a guy who had no voice. He couldn't speak. And was he in a wheelchair, too?
Yes, he was.
And he didn't have movement of one of his arms or something, but he said that his whole life he could play these games and he could talk to people and have friends, do stuff that he couldn't do in normal life. And that was like, wow, that's really great for him. But then you have somebody else who's like, the guy was like, I lost my job and, you know, can't pay my rent, but And there was this weird story about this kid who wouldn't stop playing World of Warcraft, and his mom was making him feel guilty about it all the time, and he blew his brains out in front of the computer with World of Warcraft on, and his mom found him with him slumped over with the game on, and I thought that was a really weird story.
It's all strange. For you, Mom.
Boom. Yeah, that was just effed up, man. I almost...
Munchboy in the chat room said in his dreams he's the Wizard Master.
Awesome! That's who I... Yeah, if I was in World of Warcraft, I'd be the Wizard Master.
My dreams, I am the Wizard Master.
Ah, yes. That kid's dead, unfortunately. Poor Wizard Master. But you know,
it didn't work for him.
The kid who blew his brains out, I almost felt like his mom made him feel so guilty about playing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's what it seemed
like. And you know what? That's what some parents are all about. Some parents are just not, you know, they don't get it.
Have you seen the
parents just don't understand.
There's a tantrum on YouTube that the mom took away the computer from the kid.
Yeah, but those are fake. Those have been proven to be fake. That asshole that just screams and screams and screams.
So anyway, check out Second Skin. I thought it was very interesting.
My dreams. Yes. I am the Wizard
Yes,
Master.
We know, dude. You're the Wizard Master.
Next DVD is a movie that got universally panned for being awful.
Awesome.
Sunshine Cleaning with Amy Adams and Emily Blunt. They start a crime scene cleanup business to make some cash, but I guess it's just really, really bad.
In the name of Lorik, Prince of Elves, demon be gone!
Exactly. Get rid of that movie.
And last DVD, Wise Guy, the complete first season.
Awesome!
You get your Ken Wall, Ray Sharkey on.
Wow, I swear these have come out before, like in the past year.
Maybe. I don't remember. That's the only reason I mention them. If they didn't come out or they did come out, you know, hey, they're out again.
Awesome.
Deal
That's
with it.
Weird.
It is, Rick. But Wise Guy, I remember watching that show when it's first on. I remember the guy would always call Wise Guy Buckwheat. He was like, hey, Buckwheat. He would hit the lighter button in his car. The trunk would open up, friggin' minigun in his trunk. Awesome.
Awesome.
So if anybody's following me, he'd be like... Just
you know,
waste
I
them.
Want all of Jake and the Fat Man.
Of course, that's, it was a Stephen awesome J. Connell show, so he would just take out their engines, but nobody would get killed in the car. You know, they would just kind of, it would flip over, and then they'd show him go, and crawl out of the wreck. Every A-team, those AK-47s never hit any flesh.
Yeah. I love when a plan comes together.
Awesome. Me too.
Get a little scrape from the broken glass in the car, but that's it.
Totally.
Not me, man.
All right, Bill. Any more DVDs?
That's it.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're quite welcome.
I can have you killed.
Oh, no, please don't.
Here
I want to live.
And
wow,
do we now need to commit a sacrifice to the drums?
You're crap.
Chanel, leave us alone. Exactly. We must sacrifice.
To the crap god.
Sacrifice her.
All right, everybody. That was episode 174 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening in the chat room tonight, guys. I appreciate it. Awesome. Thank you for downloading our podcast. Also awesome.
We have to put that... 8-minute voicemail of Rick up on the forum as a an extra.
Yeah, it'll be a special bonus. Now, everybody, I'd like you to go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Also call 1-206-202-3496 and send us a...
9-1.
What? What did I say?
9-1. Said 9-6.
What? 1-206. Oh, shit. I blanked on it. Tell me what the voicemail is.
Oh, shit. What is it again? I just know the last four digits for some reason.
1206.
1206.
202-3491.
202-3491.
There I go. I look. See what I did? I have this number right here. I looked down. It totally screwed me up. You'd think I'd have that shit memorized. Actually, I do have it memorized. I just had a brain flatulation. But also go to check out Mulberry Old School. You can check out all of our old episodes. Like Rick, you realize he said that. He listened to old episodes where it had cult news. So he's listening to the old
Old, you know what? Maybe, you know, next show. Now, I have to give a warning. I don't know if I'm going to be available next week for a show.
Okay.
I am. There's a possibility that I'm going to be going to East Lansing, Michigan. My sister just moved there. My brother-in-law is a professor up there now. They moved from Seattle to East Lansing, and I'm supposed to go up there and do, you know, hook up all their internet and all that stuff. So
okay.
I don't know if I'm going to have internet to do a show.
Well, we could go ahead and take next week off, Bill, because, you know, originally we were supposed to do the Wasteland show, and we could just find some time to do it in the interim between now and next, in 2 weeks from now, or whatever is what I'm trying to say. So sometime next week or whatever before you go. So we'll do that.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
So let's plan on not having a regular show next week. Is that okay, Steven?
Okay.
All right. And we'll get back in like 2 weeks. And somewhere between there, we'll do the Wasteland show. Because I can't wait to talk about it with you, Bill. It's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's my favorite book. It's my favorite one so far.
Have you listened to the audiobook for it?
Yeah, I've been listening to it lately. And it's so good. It's really good.
Technically, I haven't finished the book yet. I got probably about 50 pages left. Awesome.
All right. Yeah, that last, like, once they all, like, the whole Ludd stuff is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm still in Ludd, definitely.
Like, everything that goes down in Ludd is just, have you met the TikTok man yet?
Almost.
Okay.
Just at the door.
All right.
You need the password, so.
Oh, yes, Gasher forgets the password.
Right. I'm right around that area. It's
okay.
Very cool. I can't wait to finish it and then talk about it. So, everybody, if you're following us on the Nowhere Mulberry Book Club, you have that to look forward to. And that's about it. You know, what did I say? Voicemail, email, Mulberry Old School.
Rick has his movie to watch, Bad Ronald.
Yeah, Rick, I just want you to check out Bad Ronald and tell us what you think about it because the movie is near and dear to my heart, and that's so awesome.
It's a classic.
Bill.
It's a 70s classic. You know, you got to kind of. It was one of those. What were they
made
called?
For TV
it wasn't
movie.
An after school special. It was.
It was a late show kind of thing.
It was a mystery. Didn't they do like mystery theater on ABC or something?
Something like that.
It was part of that. It was like a whole. There was a whole series of films that they would do.
Well, the main thing
is one of those.
Ronald is just a weird dude.
I am not weird.
No, you're weird, dude.
I am not weird.
Okay, I don't want to piss him off. He's
He might send you to Atrantia.
Yeah, he's the king of Atranta. Remember, I totally want to read his book. Also, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but he's writing a book called the something about the mythology of Atranta. I can't remember, but. I was like, dude, I want to read his insane book. Friggin' whack job over there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to put myself in my bathroom and wall myself in and then watch everything from a peephole.
And remember, he was always drinking powdered milk because his mom was
Yes. There. And I love that room's got to smell great with all that powdered milk.
Oh, Jesus. He's not taking
but
any baths
But I always love
either.
How his mom, just one day, it's like, oh, I'm going to the doctor. She dies out of nowhere. I'm going to the doctor. Oh, my heart.
Poor Ronald Wilby.
Poor Ronald's mom who had the genius idea of, no, don't go to the police and say it was an accident.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's too late. Buried her.
Very bad decision.
Yeah. Way to go, Ron's mom, for, you know, ruining everything.
I know. Just wait until you see it, Rick. But, guys, see you next time. Have a good one. Laters.
Later.
We're out.
That one's going in the book. All right.
Bye. guys are hot nuts.
Now this is podcasting.
They are devils.